That was a nice kickoff.
Yeah,
Hank.
We gonna have some fun.
Yes.
Some
fun. Crazy Taxi.
I'm...
Well, I was referencing the B-E-S-T-Y.
A B-E-S-T-Y. I'm Christopher.
B-E-A-S-T-I-E, go! B-E-A-S-T-I-E, go!
No time for that, Hank, because I found a little something called Nyan Bike. Yes. If
is this if you can Nyan see it, stole my bike?
God. That's horrible.
Jesus Christ.
That would be Excite Bike music, which usually brings a boy back up, right?
Which not yeah. with mixed with Nyan Cat.
Nyan Cat.
This is Brett Elston, by the way.
Yeah, Brett Elston.
This is Michael Raparis.
Michael Raparis.
This is Henry Gilbert. Hank. I missed last episode.
And yeah,
you did?
In case
I heard that was the best episode ever.
No, you would have enjoyed the question of the week that didn't make air.
The heartbreaking ending of you recording that thing on the way home. So yeah, we were recording the podcast, and like right when I end my story about my very sad moment, I was only 12 when I did what I described, by the way. You have to listen to last week's episode to find out what we were talking about. Like you didn't listen already. Like any of you are new.
We have no new listeners.
That's the joke I was going for. But the moment, like it died the second that story was over, and it spawned a very good question of the week. We were all laughing. We all had a great time. And it just it didn't record any of that.
It sounded like podcast magic.
It really was. It was just it was fun. It was the most fun we'd had in a long time. But it's gone forever.
It's not. We will revisit the idea, but we got a piece of equipment on the way that will help
you guys participate in it.
Wow, it could be weird.
Yeah, it's a penis pump.
We'll see.
Use
a penis pump. Yeah. No. Here you go, Hank.
It's one we'll all share together.
There you go.
It'll be the communal games radar one. Well, if we all clean it, if we all agree to clean it.
Can we just get one that's shaped like a tire iron?
If we all take turns feeding it.
I'll put four dicks in at once.
Okay, I'm into that.
Chris, what you got for it?
I don't know.
Got any game deals later on in the show?
I guess. Yeah, I got that.
Couple games came out this week.
Captain America's out. I'm writing a feature about that.
One person at the office really liked Bastion.
Who's not here, but...
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah.
And I'm reviewing Captain America, but I haven't played it 1 second, so I'm going to have to defer to somebody else.
We'll get to that. And bringing us in, I guess, at the very beginning would be this week's top 7.
Uh-huh.
Which,
I guess,
is written.
Hey, it's some jerk-off from a magazine.
Hi, Tyler
here.
Wilde. Hi, buddy. We're live. You want to talk on mic? Yeah, say hi to the good people. This is a crossover now.
Hello, good people. I didn't know they were recording because they looked so casual and relaxed.
I'm sorry about what happened last night.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
Was it the barfing or the shitting of the pants?
No, I did.
Did you put your dick in his mouth and take a
no!
while he was awake?
I'm constantly on the verge these days of crying and shitting my pants due to like my new single lifestyle of whiskey and ramen noodles and loneliness.
I suggested putting the whiskey in the noodles.
And I was watching Star Trek. Like Tyler had a lady friend over, so I go and I load up my whiskey bottle and head into my room to watch Star Trek: Next Generation alone on my phone.
God damn it!
On your phone?
Yeah.
Jeez, you got a computer in your room?
Nope. Just the internet doesn't reach my room. I have to use it.
Oh, man, that's even sadder.
And yeah, I'm just watching.
What kind of crap ass router do you have?
My apartment is a snake. It's just one big long section, and the router's over in the other end.
All right.
Rooms on the.
But you're watching Next Gen, which I'm interested in now.
And are you doing it in order?
I'm not saying yeah. I'm not saying I sharted, but I definitely had a fart that was a problem. and so I just go, I wasn't even thinking, like, we're going to the bathroom and just like, friend had made that analogy that it sounds like my asshole was like an audience member of Def Comedy Jam, just like silence and bursting out with laughter to where like it looked like a turd was executed because the bowl was literally sprayed.
Wow.
And just horrible, horrible smell. I walk out and it's just like Tyler with his new lady friend. And like the smell is coming after me down the hallway and there's no hiding it. I may have sharted already. I feel like I constantly smell shit after all that.
Yeah, just jump in the living room and go like, yeah, smell my ass.
Yeah,
do a little dance, run away.
This is me exerting dominance over you and your newfound lady.
Also, goblin, yeah.
It looks like you haven't shaved in 3 days. So you've got a pretty full... beard.
Yeah. Oh, I want to shave once for Comic-Con. I'm having to hold it off.
You're really starting to look like Sabretooth. You know, you should keep that for your Comic-Con costume.
Just I don't like I don't know any lines from that movie.
Back to back.
Wait, that was my favorite part of Requiem for a Dream. Right?
Everybody? Also,
film buffs?
He'd call Wolverine a runt. He's like, hey, runt.
What a great movie.
Yep, one for the ages.
We can talk. I don't have anything planned because I got, everything's sort of fucked.
Well, everybody else want to talk about their weekend?
Well, what next gen episode were you watching?
The last one I watched. I'm still in the first season, I'm in the 20s. It's fucking long. I'm here. You're like every night until 9 o'clock. I can go home and watch two, and then I have to go to bed.
It's been a year, but
shut up. God damn it.
Well, I heard you guys had some fun that Charlie had an accident.
Charlie was injured over the weekend, so we went to go see Harry Potter, which was good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I liked it too. And Dark Knight Rises, man.
Like Dumbledore, right?
That's true.
He was already dead.
I'm kidding. I thought it was fantastic, but only because the first Deathly Hallows really sucked.
No, you're not right.
The second movie is a 2-hour ending, a 2-hour ending finale, the third act of a film, and it's really intense. Yeah.
No, it was super intense.
Every time I go to a Harry Potter movie, it seems like I have to sit near somebody who feels the need to explain everything on screen to someone else. Like Prisoner of Azkaban, I went and there was some little kid sitting not right next to me, but near me. And, every time anything happened, he had to exclaim what it was at his parents. And then this last time went and, there was some woman sitting behind me to the left who was, explaining everything to her boyfriend in an audible whisper. It's like, oh, no, see, in the last movie, they were kidnapped. And blah, 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 blah. Fucking movie.
Well, I had to get my mom up to date before we saw it, too. And she'd read all the books. She read them before me, but has forgotten all of them. And I was like, well, they were looking around, and they destroyed three of the Horcruxes, but then one was a fake. And
somebody brought up a good point, which I actually... I don't know.
Now that's Neville. I can't use magic.
Yeah, not very well. Fucking... somebody brought up a very good point, which if you don't care about Harry Potter spoilers at this point, it's your fault at this point. Somebody points out that the Horcruxes in the seventh movie, and they're like, wait, if Basilisk teeth destroy Horcruxes,
kill everything.
If Basilisk teeth destroy Tamriel's diary and they use it to destroy
snake
the
snake bit itself.
The snake bit Harry in the second movie, and Harry was a Horcrux.
Well, but then well.
And it's like, well, no, why didn't he die?
The phoenix tears saved him fast enough.
I don't know, man. Those Horcruxes, they shatter immediately.
Yeah, the last episode, I don't know what it's called, but Geordi was put in charge of the Enterprise.
LeVar Burton. Yes.
That was a great episode, and it made me love that man all the more.
I don't remember
that. It's in the first season. It's not terribly.
You need more descriptions.
They had that guy who's in all the Milo Forman movies.
He's still not the chief engineer yet.
I saw he has one dot and then another one that's not filled in.
He's a junior grade JG.
But could he be destroyed by a basilisk too?
Yes.
They had to stick with that plot point because before she even thought of Horcruxes, they just destroyed the thing with the basilisk tooth.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Well, also, Harry is a living person, so he probably gets, a little bit more time than the average Horcrux.
He is not an inanimate object. Heart and kill him. Yeah.
If it's magic, I would just assume magic works and doesn't have to reach his heart.
You're right.
Yeah. Anyway.
The movie doesn't work for me now. Thanks, Elsa.
Anyway. No, someone pointed that out afterwards. And
I was more upset that, I thought it was going to be a grand revisit of, everything in the series. I was hoping to see John Cleese as D. Gryffindor ghost again. I was hoping to see Kenneth Branagh, and then I realized I can't remember at all the second film book. And I read the book and saw the movie. Cannot remember. Do you guys remember it instantly?
I remember way
Chamber
better
of
the
Secrets.
First movie.
It's Chamber of Secrets.
Do you remember?
You're right. Fine. Yes, got it.
That's the movie I remember the least.
Exactly.
Do you remember the
meaningless movie?
My favorite scene was when Harry had to duel Malfoy in front of everybody.
Cool scene. That's the movie I saw that made me go, I should read these books.
Me too!
Because I thought the first one was just a silly kids movie. I'm like, well, whatever. It was silly, but fine. Mm-hmm. But then the second one was like, oh, wait, this is an ongoing story.
I really think the third, it's not only the best movie, but it's the best. It's like when the story becomes part of a larger piece.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the second one, man. Because in the second book, if he didn't fight Voldemort, then it wouldn't set up the time of like it could have just been a continuing thing.
I think if you're adhering to how the I had read all the books before I saw any of the movies, and really? I'm not saying they need to fill in every detail from the book.
Yeah.
But that's when I started getting enamored in the details of the books, like the behind-the-scenes shit, like the newspaper stuff. This was like post 9/11, the Bush administration.
No,
I thought
so
that was like
good.
Profound.
No, and then when they in the sixth book, like when they decided they were going, like when the Ministry of Magic decided they were going to go after Death Eaters,
all that kind of crap.
They just arrested people who like just
for no
show
reason.
who were Death Eaters at all.
Yeah, there's like that's when the series really amped up, and Azkaban's just the best movie of all.
No, and you can tell she was just hiding this. That was the other thing,
also
too.
Also the lowest grossing.
I didn't read the books until the fourth movie, because after I saw the fourth movie, my friend was like, they cut everything from this. I was like, oh, really?
That's the biggest book.
And then when I read the fourth book, I was like, wow, look at this. I thought seven was the biggest.
I think seven might be.
Five is the biggest, I believe.
Well, I actually haven't read books one through three. I've read four, five, six, and seven.
Books one and two are almost verbatim from the film, and three is...
Yeah, the first two movies are like, you really should have cut.
Well,
they were being
too careful. Yeah, they didn't want to offend anybody.
It's very careful. The last one was the first one that I can think of where I wasn't like, oh man, they cut this part. This was so crucial. And I'm pretty happy with the way that the last film turned out. Like the scenes like where Harry's walking through the woods toward the end. Like I thought those were some of the most important in the book, and I thought they were carried out really well.
And they were. I thought Voldemort was great.
Ray Fiennes is perfect.
I thought and Snape was amazing. Like he finally, like he really stepped up in this movie, and also like it skates such a line to R. Like it's a really heavy PG-13. Like, think of the scene where Voldemort's killed everybody in Gringotts, and he's stepped in blood. Like blood is up to his feet.
He's
and,
got
like,
some blood on his feet.
That's pretty hardcore for what started as a PG kids movie.
That scene where Harry Potter gets the one unsexual fuck in the movie and then like just tears out Voldemort's heart and holds it up.
Yes,
just blood spraying everywhere.
I did not care for the fisting scene. There's no reason for that.
But so we go see that movie.
I thought that was
integral to you know, bring
crossers
in the book.
We go see that movie, and then we go drink at this pirate bar.
Oh, wow. I forgot we still...
You went to the pirate bar?
Yeah. Wow. It was great. The rum there is really good.
Well, yeah, but was it drowning in people this time?
We got
but
there
how
like,
many drinks could you get in a 5-hour span?
I got three drinks in 2 hours.
But those are like giant rum drinks, though. Like,
yeah, that's true. We got there at 8, but then... And we drink a bunch, and then it's like, let's go to my Grimm's house and watch Crank 2. So then we all leave, and none of us are like shit-faced or anything. It's me, Carolyn, Cherry, and Charlie. Mm-hmm. And we're walking up this hill, and then we see this playground that Carolyn and I have watched be built slowly over the past few months. The door, though, the gate is open, so we're like, oh, fuck, I've been watching this thing get built. Let's go see. What is all this shit? It's a playground, but it wasn't swing sets and teeter-totters. It was all this, like, weird...
There's a dark picture in your Twitter. It looks like a series of metal bars and wires.
Yeah, and they're all just, like, in these weird shapes. And we're like, what does all this do? So we all, like, go to different things. And Charlie sees this thing. It's just a circle on it that's slightly inclined.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a trampoline with no net in the middle. Just, it's like a border of a trampoline. And he stands on it. And then starts walking on it, and it starts moving underneath you. So like you walk it, it's like a hamster wheel almost. Mm-hmm. But then he's like, "What?" So he starts running, and it speeds up. It speeds up exponentially the more you push off of it. So in the span of, I swear, like 1.5 seconds, he goes, "Foo!"
And just jellyfish.
I mean, he really fell, and then. Like, hit the ground hard, like, ribs and face.
Yeah, he might have some broken ribs, it looks like.
He's
in pain.
He's got a doctor's appointment, but
he hit really hard, and it's the kind of thing, like, you might attribute it to booze, but it's like, that was going to happen no matter.
Yeah, it's good.
That could have been me, could have been Carolyn.
And that said, that I'm like, kids are indestructible. I'm like,
yeah, if a kid,
nope, you're right. Like, I would fall off that and get right back on.
Yeah. But then this other thing, Carolyn and I sat in it, and it's like, where do you even put your feet? And so we both squeeze in this thing, and then, like, Charlie spins it once, and it's like, man, this is going pretty fast. So I, like, lean back and forth to pump it once or twice, and just doing that, like, pumping a swing, it's spinning so fucking fast. Like, I felt the pressure of my eyes, like, sinking into themselves, And then, like, it couldn't even stop. So, like, Charlie, like, they had to, like, stop it from the outside. And, like, you know when you're trying to stop a merry-go-round that's going too fast? And, like, your hands are just, like, hitting the bars, doing that thung, thung, thung. Ah, ah. Yes, and just, like, trying to stop this thing. And meanwhile, it's only, like, as wide as we are. It's a very tall, thin thing that we're just sitting in. And it's spinning out of control.
I wonder if it's, like, an adult playground.
This is about midnight.
Or... Two, what if you guys went in, it's still under construction, they haven't, like, applied areas of friction to make things go slower.
Or added safety railing.
Or handed out the mouth guards that are mandatory.
Or maybe, like, rubbery ground around.
No, that's what's interesting. The ground was almost like a wrestling mat, because when you stepped or fell, there was a give.
A lot of the city, I've never seen that until I moved to the city, but it's bouncy, rubbery. Yeah.
I remember seeing a playground like that as a kid. Sorry for these city kids
who don't have a real dirt ground to play on.
Like, with rocks on it to cut your head open.
Yeah, that grass stains on my shoes.
I did that once.
We have audio of Charlie after the fall. Poor Charlie. Somebody. Whatever, I don't have video games, right?
Sorry, I'm watching the thing to make sure it doesn't go into sleep mode.
Whoa, 15 minutes? Let's roll.
Do we have to? So I guess we got to talk about games.
The top seven this week was. I wanted to be respectful and silent. Hurry the fuck up!
Top seven.
That means it's the Muppets, right?
Is that CBS intro? Fox? I can't remember.
I thought that was the Muppets intro.
No, it's like an old VHS. Publishing company video. And I think it's CBS. I don't know.
You remember the FHE ones?
I do.
You know what else?
I do, because the one that was in front of Ninja Turtles, because they published the first Ninja...
FHE.
Oh, yeah. You know what else CBS owns?
What's that?
Star Trek.
I thought you were going to say GameSpot.
Oh.
Engage.
Paramount owns Star Trek.
Well, Paramount...
is owned by Viacom.
Yeah, Paramount sold the rights. They own the rights to distribution to certain things and movies, but as far as Star Trek appearing on television... Mm-hmm. CBS has the rights. Huh.
So when are we going to see Diagnosis Star Trek?
They are the same company. Viacom owns CBS and Paramount.
Yeah.
Hi, Hank.
Henry.
I burped, and then the aftertaste of the burp made me cough.
God. Yes.
If you want a play-by-play, it's the commentary on the thing we have.
Top seven.
Oh, yeah.
This week.
You reminded me of... I'll talk about it sometime.
Top seven.
That's all right. I'm not high. Number seven. What is it, Elson?
Top seven power-ups you don't want to collect, which is a fun one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like this one.
Number seven.
Are the Skulls and Bomberman.
Wish I had a sound effect. That's Mickey Mouse.
Speaking of my mom, Bomberman is her favorite game ever.
Really?
The original NES Bomberman.
God, what a shitty game.
Can I try this? I would like your mom.
Seriously, I just wanted to talk about something my mom enjoys. And he's had to...
I'm lonely. I want to be your father.
What else can we talk about on the Hank's Momcast?
I'll try to be on topic.
Mama Gill.
I'll try.
What do the Skulls do?
The Skulls, well, in Bomberman, you're always looking at, like, the things that make your explosion bigger, or the ability to carry more bombs, or to
maybe
kick
roller
bombs.
Skates to move faster.
But one of them is a skull that, as far as I remember, just kills you.
I can't remember.
But in the rush to grab things, you're just like, fun, no!
Yeah. What a great game that was.
Super Bomberman, I feel like in kid time, which I was probably 12 or 13, I felt like I played that game for 3 years straight when it was probably more like a very strong 2 months where I gave a shit. That whole time period, like junior high, I feel like I played Super Bomberman a hell of a lot. But I had like three friends we could all play with, and fucking so much fun.
We play, you know, mom was big into that one, and then me and my brother Sam, we played Saturn Bomberman some, and a Sega or a Genesis Bomberman
Mega
one.
Mega Bomberman?
I think it was Mega Bomberman where the big thing was you'd have a kangaroo you could jump around in. I remember that.
I don't know.
But that was before they realized the power of the Bomberman franchise.
And how they could milk it to death.
Yeah, and now Bomberman is a dead
franchise. I had a power-up noise. Hey.
Now Bomberman is a dead franchise.
No, it's not.
It's just kinda so sad.
XBLA version that came out very early in the...
Yes, and then they iterated on it seven times.
I know.
That's the sad thing about it. It's like, I'll never not want to play a good game of Bomberman. Mm-hmm. but every time they release a new one, I don't care.
You just shrug your shoulders like, it's more Bomberman.
Yeah, but it's like, if you ask me, is Bomberman a great game? I'd say, yes, it's a fantastic game. You want to buy the new one? No. No, I don't.
Well, I have to point out, the skull does not just kill you. It infers a variety of status ailments that can make you slow down or speed up to ridiculous levels.
You can curse. Can't you then spread that to other people? Yes. I feel like that happens, and then everyone gets cursed, and they can't drop bombs, and you just have to run the clock out.
Yep. You all got wiki paras. It was awesome to watch.
I just read the rest of the
game. I see.
Hey, wait a minute.
I see. Michael will do that.
Number six.
How dare you read? You be informed.
The care package in Modern Warfare 2.
I don't know this one. I don't play that game. That game's for you. Yeah.
That game's for everyone who isn't us.
Shit.
No, but it's like they drop so many other things. Missiles, the helicopter strike shit, or the tactical nuke if you're really good.
I don't understand why it's the one you don't want, though.
Yeah, I don't.
I haven't read the article, nor
well,
can
let's
I
Let's read
now.
It aloud right now and find out.
Right? Mario.
Yep. You should save that. I think you're going to find it useful later in this list.
Henry, you should be doing this. Come sit in my chair.
What? No. I'll just direct you. You'll be my puppet, and I'll tell you when to play.
Well, I mean,
call yourself a producer and not hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so care package.
I just literally don't remember.
It's dead air.
I really
five.
Don't.
Is this something you earn on a kill streak?
I can't remember what's in the care package.
Well, it's God damn it.
Like, why it would be a undesirable thing. Like, I haven't played this since 2009, so I'm really...
Oh, I do remember, but it can be at any certain number of... I'm not talking anymore about... I don't want to be... Don't fucking tell me I'm wrong about anything I've said about Call of Duty, because
I enjoyed the hell out of Modern Warfare.
Sam, or a UAV.
A UAV, that's what it is. UAVs online.
But the UAV was very useful.
Not as useful as a missile.
I thought it was more useful. Keep track, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.
But look, you could get the nuke, and then the game is over, and your fun ends.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the time I got the 25 kill streak.
Number five. Let's do this.
Bubble Gun from Earthworm Jim 2.
I barely remember Earthworm Jim 2.
So I just took off my Earthworm Jim's. Oh, there he is.
Oh, good.
Look at that.
Earthworm Jim 2 wasn't bad, though. Well, actually,
I love Earthworm. It's really good.
Well, it's so weird, though, because Earthworm Jim 1 is just, it's just a 2D thing, but Earthworm Jim 2 has, like, so many distractions from 2D stuff. Like, there's the isometric
shooter
Zeppelin level and and also the one where you have to bounce Peter Puppy on the marshmallow.
Yeah.
Just weird.
There were so many 2D side-scrolling games at the time, so, like, having a bunch of that was, like... The first game already had so much imagination like going on in it already.
Yeah.
Like, really cool level design, good music, very good animation. It was already a very striking game. The HD one on Xbox was very good.
Yeah, I think the one other problem I had with it, too, was that it wasn't made by Shiny. Like, Shiny had moved on to do something else. I think it was a different developer.
Enter the Matrix.
But apparently the gun, it just shoots these bubbles that don't do anything.
Yeah, they don't do anything.
So it's like a bubble gun in real life. It's a joke weapon, I guess.
Are we ready for number four?
Number four.
We're flying.
Earthworm Jim 1 and 2 are great games. I love both of them.
3D is pretty great, too.
Maybe they'll do an HD of 2. If one sold enough, maybe they'll do it.
I have to assume it did not sell very well. Even
maybe
though
they'll do a remaster of 3.
Even though it was really pretty.
They just skip right over to 3D.
Yeah, they should just do that now.
Well, that's got Dan Castellaneta's voice in it, though.
Really?
Because he was on the show at the time.
Did they? They never finished the Earthworm Jim for PSP, did they? That was like,
I think
it got canceled,
I remember playing that. And
the PSP one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally canceled.
And it's just like, this is just the first game in 3D, but they're insisting it's a sequel.
Oh, that's a damn shame.
Mm-hmm. Number four is
play that? Number four?
Another game.
Yeah, I think you did play it.
Barely played.
What?
Lightning Cloud from Mario Kart Wii.
Oh, Jesus.
The one we all played so much of.
Well, wait. So Lightning Cloud and all the other... Well, Lightning is good, but Lightning Cloud is not good?
Didn't play the Wii version very much.
Does it shrink everybody randomly?
Supposedly, it makes you go faster while it's hanging over you. It does have a positive effect. The difference is negligible, meaning all the attention turns to its other... The benefit boils down to getting zapped in the head by a thunderbolt.
Man, what a drag.
I really don't understand.
Well, it's our fault for not playing such a great game as Mario Kart.
I really hated that game.
See, I only... think of the Wii when I'm wondering how to tell people they should dust it off for something. So,
my dad called me today and asked if I could. Can you recommend a good tennis game on the Wii? I'm like, yeah, every one of them. They're all the,
they're all the same.
You have 600 to choose from.
Tell me the one that came with your Wii.
And you know, you play real tennis. Like, would you just enjoy doing that? It's cheaper.
Old, can't do it as much. Right?
Yes. But Mario Kart then. Right?
I remember when I first started working here, that was when Mario Kart Wii had come out, and you guys decided you were going to play online with some readers and together.
It was impossible.
Then, yeah, you could not play.
We thought we were doing something wrong, and now we all know. Now we all know.
Like, we were looking at each other's screens, and it would say, I'm online.
We're in the same office on the same internet.
And it would say, like, I'm online on my machine, but if Chris is looking for me, I'm not online, but I am online on Michael's screen. It's just like, no two screens were the same. It was inconsistent. And then even when I would try to play Smash Brothers, it was laggy as hell, just completely useless.
In summation, Mario Kart Wii, right?
Yes.
All right.
Number three
is the white flashing Molotov thing in Ghouls and Ghosts. It's a torch. I thought you knew.
I think their entry is funnier. Oh, no, if they wrote torch, it'd confuse them because they think, well, you're talking about a flashlight.
Oh, I see.
No, I think it's a flashlight.
Dirt.
I'm from England, lady.
I call a trunk a boot.
I'm sorry.
Suddenly we're all booterly.
Well, I know there was some. I felt bad about. I used the term Britos to make fun of British one time. And then several people commented to me on Twitter, like, oh, guess I'm a Brito now. And I was like, all right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, British listeners.
I'll wear a bowler hat and carry an umbrella to my job at the bank.
There was actually a time recently where I tweeted that I was reading this book called Knight and Squire, which is a Batman spinoff that takes place all in England and it's very British. And I said, man, I'm feeling super British after reading Knight and Squire, this awesome comic book. And then I did hashtag what, which is really something that, like, only, as far as I know, only Nigel Hawthorne in The Madness of King George.
I saw this happen, yeah.
Only in The Madness of King George have I heard any British person actually say, "That's what's this now? What? Let's Robin go down Hood to there. What? And then...
Did you spell it W-O-T or W-H-A-T?
W-H-A-T.
Yeah. Ah, there's your mistake. What?
Well, then, and so, then our good friend, and I think, well, one of the authors of this top seven, Justin, from the UK, he said, you know, none of us talk like that, right?
I saw that happen.
Yeah, and then I said back to him, Justin, like, no, it was the Nigel Hawthorne guy. He does it, and he's really
awesome.
If
you want to know where this hate comes from, to be fair to Henry, his dad is the King of England. And they are very strange.
They have one of those right now, right?
Yep, yeah, that's Henry's dad.
I think some of my... I think back in my genealogy, there's English.
Of course there is. You're in America.
Well, no, but I mean, it's not Irish or whatever, Scottish. I mean, right. It's... Yeah.
I think you go back far enough.
It's not one of the lesser isles.
Yeah, it's not those lesser isles, the other shitty parts of the United Kingdom, man. It's the...
Yeah. You're offending my very distant.
Oh, why? But I really hope it goes up on the wiki that your dad is the King of England. All right.
Now that you've said that, it has.
But no, wait. The torch. The actual weapon in the game. Jesus. It's the torch. And I mean, the other weapons in Ghouls and Ghosts are like the dagger and the javelin and the crossbow, which shoots two. But the torch is just really slow. You can only throw two at a time, which leaves you very vulnerable because you have to wait once it lands for it to do this, like, cascading fire effect, which in a game where you're one, like, two hits dead and you're starting at the beginning and it's already really tough, it's not a good weapon ever to have.
Yeah, but it does get really cool when you, like, power up to the gold armor and then it, like, just makes these gigantic columns of flame.
See, that's the weird thing is, when it powers up, it makes these big walls that can really hit enemies multiple times, but I was always a big fan of the daggers because they were like these light laser daggers.
Yeah,
and they made this cool ass noise. This ding 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 ding.
Yeah, and the image they have here with the wolf perched there, like, just from playing this game hundreds of times, I'm just automatically thinking, like, oh shit, I have to lay down a barrier for when that thing jumps over in that weird arc.
Yeah,
I have to back up a little bit.
Number two,
I didn't play that game. It's too tough.
It's really good.
Number two,
Mystery Potion from Zombies Ate My Neighbors. I love Zamn, as we called it.
I had a good time with it.
Apparently, great it's another, music. Another random effects thing that, like, it might be something good, it might be something bad.
Mm-hmm.
Might turn you into a hulking monster that can beat shit up. It might turn you into a zombie that then eats people.
God, that was like a very cool exact time period for game. It was like Secret of Mana, Pluck, Zombies Ate My Neighbors. I remember playing all those a lot. And I think maybe even Super Bomberman. I don't remember the exact date for that one. I'm sorry.
That sounds about right.
But like this whole very, very strong period of games was very cool. I think Star Fox might have been at the beginning of the year, too.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Hey, you know Star Fox, right?
I did see... Well, we'll get to that a little later.
Okay.
Preview
for the Wolverine.
I heard that earlier today, actually. So we'll go to number one.
Number one, the reason this list was created, really.
Jesus, we've landed.
That was my Star Fox.
We've landed at platform one.
It was a barrel roll.
The purple mushroom from Mario 2, the real Mario 2 that sucks ass.
Yeah, I think this is it's maybe one of the first D power ups, famous one, and it was one of the first power downs. It was like, it's famous because like they set up the first level to trick you because the first thing you hit is almost in the exact same place as where the original mushroom was in 1-1. And then it comes out, and if you're not looking closely, it looks the same.
And it's usually built to fall on you.
Yeah.
Even if you were trying to avoid it and you walk forward, it's built to be timed to fall on you as you run underneath it.
And it's just part of the many things that made Mario Land, Super Mario 2 / Lost Levels, like, not fun. Like, Super advanced players. Like, the people who it was made for were people who had spent the last year only playing Super Mario Brothers and learning every secret about it. And so,
kind of people would want to buy a sequel to that game?
Very true.
Yeah, but it's not meant to be played now if you're just used to more casual Mario games to take it easy on you. It's meant for advanced players who have... have it all memorized. And the poison mushroom hasn't made a lot of appearances since that one.
Well, where's the one in the asset from? Is that from All Stars?
It was the redrawing for All Stars, because that's definitely like a Mario.
It was used again in some.
That's a Mario World game. Design. Mm. I think it might have been
I think it was one of the new Super Mario Brothers. There might have been a point.
Are you thinking of the one that makes you tiny?
Not the mini mushroom.
But that design is definitely from Super Mario All Stars, because it's done in the world style, but it was not in world.
Right.
So.
Well, I've got the wiki open for Poison Mushroom.
Is that the Super Mario Wiki or Wikipedia?
It is Super Mario Wiki.
The Super Mario Wiki is one of the best fan wikis around. Like, they've very dedicated people.
Is there a red palette swap that's named Roxy Mushroom?
Michael Rapard is the final fight joke.
Ah!
No one? Fine.
You know,
fine.
Super Mario Wiki, thank you for saving several features of mine in the past.
Well, it's weird. They consider like the mushrooms in Game Boy Donkey Kong poison mushrooms. Mm-hmm. And I guess they technically are, because they do shrink you.
But they don't kill a mini version of you. But as far as
what we would consider them, as far as a Mario platformer goes, it's only in that one.
Because it's just unfair. Like, it's them being dicks.
Yes.
Like,
well, let's end this. It's so long.
It's so over.
It's so long. We might do three segments, and then we'll see you at Comic-Con. We have a special... I guess we'll just say it. Like, we're going to try running around and recording the podcast on foot, the floor.
It's going to be really
fun. If you see us with holding a microphone and a bunch of, let's say, Brett, Cheryl, or Carolyn with umbilical cords attached to me, then come up to us, and we'll put you on mic, and we'll bring that to the universe and stuff. This segment is over.
Beautiful, right?
I didn't want to talk over it.
everybody. It's Lieutenant Jim Dangle from the Reno Sheriff's Department, and you're listening to Talking Radar on gradar.com.
Hey!
Yes?
You look like a real asshole!
Well, I am an extremely serious gamer.
He's completely devoid of humor. So what you doing?
Well, my level 80 guild and I were running off to complain about the journalistic credibility of Ars Technica's Naruto review on NeoGAF.
Wrong, Dick! You're listening to Talk Radar! Oh, I'm sorry! You thought you were funny? Well, guess the fuck what?
Amend your fucking review, shit, Dick. I swear to fucking Christ, I'll jump through that goddamn internet and kick you in the fucking throat.
We ain't no fucking magazine, we got the F word!
Fuck you, I thought it was funny.
Fuck you!
No, you two, separate.
That's fucking...
Separate.
We got hour-long stories about shitty!
Came out like a baby elephant. Didn't hurt a bit.
Talk right on with the house that Abe Lincoln's bonus built!
Call it the, kid fucker's hoagie.
Podcast? Yeah! That'll be back in a second, but you... Who brought up the question? Is it Michael or Henry?
What? Which question?
The question we were just discussing. Like, what...
Tell me that question.
We were talking about, Smurfs is coming out in the movie theater.
It was
Boo.
Definitely Henry.
But you mentioned Captain Planet somehow.
Yeah, being developed into a live-action film.
And we both... I mean, the love for Captain Planet on the internet is ironic. Like,
if
nobody
anybody
really...
even has it.
That show was not popular. People did not like it. It was... I remember it got a lot of publicity because it was Ted Turner being, like, super liberal and, like, I'm going to make an action show out of saving the world. So it got a lot of publicity and we all watched and, like, this is really boring.
Yeah, they were always boring. I mean, he hired famous people to do the voices, like more
he
famous
had the money.
Than you'd see anything. Yeah, so he could hire such huge stars as Sandra Bernhardt and Whoopi Goldberg.
But you posed the question, like, what, you know, we got G.I. Joe, we got Transformers, the Voltron game coming out. Like, are we missing a big...
Are there any other big ones left? Yeah, I don't know. I was like...
I cannot believe I cannot think of one.
I mean, there's like Silver Hawks.
Silver Hawks.
Like Transformers was easily the most popular. Like, and there was G.I. Joe also, but like,
yeah, I think they've addressed all the super popular ones.
No.
What's up? What's up?
I thought He-Man.
Well, He-Man.
Yeah, we're due for another He-Man movie.
He does have the power.
See if we can get Frank Langella back to play Skeletor again.
He's available.
He totally, man, he'd look even better.
Get Dolph Lundgren to either play He-Man or a detective
he'd
with
be
an enhanced sense of smell.
He'd be He-Man's dad. Oh, man.
Well, that's
King
what it
Randor.
Was. I was looking
it
up.
That
I was
would be awesome.
Looking it up.
Totally. Wow, that would be
what
great.
Would you say?
If Dolph Lundgren came back and played King Randor.
I forgot King Randor is like a bodybuilder himself. Like,
every character in that fucking series was a bodybuilder because they all used
the same body.
Ridiculous fucking
one
steroid
hand closed,
body.
Wow. One hand open.
Yeah. I didn't know. I had no idea about the
weird
voice.
Bracers that may or may not be colored.
I had no idea about the voices on Captain Planet, but I remembered at the time, like, you can't just call a villain Duke Nukem, can you? And in Captain Planet. And right. They sure enough did.
I think Captain Planet.
And I'm looking at data. He's voiced. It didn't though, and he's voiced by Dean Stockwell.
Wow.
Dean Stockwell is Duke Nukem in Captain Planet. And
sorry, who's Dean? I'm lost on this one. Who's Dean Stockwell?
Dean Stockwell.
He was the guy in Quantum Leap.
Battlestar and Quantum Leap.
The hologram.
Oh, okay.
He also played Wilbur Waitley in the Dunwich Horror.
He was in the new Battlestar. He was one of the Cylons.
I didn't watch that show.
It's a good show.
Nah.
But I'm looking like...
Wait, I've heard you guys talk at length about what a bad show
I
is.
Never said... That's Brett,
that's
not
me.
Me.
That's me.
Jeff Goldblum voiced...
Ron Moore, blow me.
Vermis Scum. Dr. Blight was voiced by Meg Ryan.
What?
On Captain Planet. Zarm. Wow. Who could forget Zarm? Sting. It's Sting. Wow. It's the voiced by Sting.
How did this happen?
Hoggish Greedley, Ed Asner. Nice.
Well, it was because... Yeah, I remember Hoggish Greedley. It was
Luton. Luton. Looten. Plunder. Luton Plunder.
Oh, my
voiced by fucking James Coburn, who is a fantastic human being. Duck, you sucker.
Oh, wait, I remember Loot and Plunder. He was in the theme
Sly
song.
Sly Sludge is Martin Sheen. And then they switched his voice to Jim Cummings, the voice of Winnie the Pooh.
But they say, like, fight, like, Loot and Plunder. Remember in the theme song?
Bad guys. Who like, you just want to listen to the theme song, Hank. Should we just do that?
That show I lumped in my mind in with Cops and Robbers.
Oh, I love Cops.
I thought both of those shows were stupid.
Cops and Crooks.
Cops and Crooks.
Misdemeanor.
I thought BP Vest.
I just thought both of those shows were so dumb.
I don't know what BP stood for before, but now it stands for Bulletproof.
Captain Planet, it's just...
He's our hero, going to take pollution down to zero.
The world is in peril.
In peril.
The spirit of the Earth can no longer stand...
That sounds like LeVar Burton.
...plaguing our planet.
It does.
Five magic rings to five...
It's
got to
be LeVar Burton.
...from Africa with the power of Earth.
Oh, poor Malik with the power of heart.
With the power of fire.
This is J.D. Roth, the host of Super Funhouse and GamePro TV.
I remember him.
Minka with the power of
Boy, that was dated immediately when they made it, sorry.
From Asia, Yi with the power of water.
Oops, she's saving
your violence. I thought you were going to say violins.
And from South America, Mati with the power of heart.
Not much in South America.
I did love the heart sound effect, though.
He was such a lame-o.
It's because that's what his ancestors used to tear out of sacrifice victims.
Sorry, guys.
Now they probably have a Muslim member instead of I don't know, maybe not Soviet Union. Yeah, I think they'd replace Soviet Union with someone from Saudi Arabia.
Henry had posed the question, like, it was announced recently that Captain Planet is going to have a movie made out of it. So we were trying to think of, like, popular cartoons...
What's left
from our childhood?
That was really popular.
Well, they're making a new Thundercats cartoon.
Yeah, they are.
So like that. Snorks isn't popular.
No, you can't
get
do Snorks. You can't
Shirt Tails, man.
Shirt Tails. Fuck yes.
That was on all the goddamn.
You sure
time.
Said things.
Nah, I can't think of anything that'd be like good enough.
I always bring this up.
Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse. Yeah. Powerhouse.
Danger Mouse was good.
I love Danger Mouse.
But I'm like, that's
and
why.
Then.
That's like, it's only a matter of time until someone's like, you know, we might as well just fucking shoot
Let's
it.
Make a live action version. It's not no longer a mouse. It's actually played by DJ Danger Mouse.
No, it would be like Smurfs, where it's like, get someone like Neil Patrick Harris to what's his name from Alvin and the Chipmunks and Clerks.
All right, let's tell a fish out of water story in New York.
And oh my God, Danger Mouse has to leap across the pond. All of them history.
So in Captain Planet, they'd have to have like relative newcomers playing the kids, but then they'd just like in the TV show, they'd have to have big stars playing the characters. Maybe they could even get Sting to reprise his character of Loot and Plunder.
Man, I've been trying to get people to remember this fucking show on Nickelodeon. I want to see if YouTube has a theme on it. Spartacus.
Oh, I remember that.
Man, that's not the right fucking song. Stupid YouTube.
I remember Spartacus from Sleepy Town.
It was a French
reproduction. I think Menudo did the American soundtrack.
Now that's Lazy Town.
Lazy Town. Lazy Town.
Not Sleepy Town.
This is the one with the Pirates of the Seas.
Yeah. The Sun Beneath the Earth, and it's really fucking weird. And like,
it was like the Sun Beneath the Sea in the U.S.
What about
the Sun Beneath the Sea?
What about
I can't find it.
Pirates of Dark Water.
I thought that Foxes See, Pirates of Dark Water.
Like, Foxes Peter and the Pirates.
Peter and the God, man.
It's a terrible
show.
What
the fuck do you think you are? Show.
You know what else I hated more than anything else? Tom and Jerry Kids.
They gotta be where the action
Jerry
is.
Kids.
Peter Pan and the Pirates was interesting because it humanized Captain Hook.
I hated his hair so much.
You get over it. Just a blonde version of what he has in the fucking Disney cartoon.
But like as a kid, his stupid curls. It's like he's wearing a fucking judge's wig from the 20s or something. I mean 1720.
Yeah.
The oldest stuff I can remember. Wait, let me say the oldest stuff I can remember on Nickelodeon was the block would be Pinwheel, Seven Cities of Gold.
Did you know
the Cities of Gold?
You know the original
and then
name.
Fucking Lassie would come on.
You remember the original title of Nickelodeon as a channel? You know what it's called?
Pinwheel.
No. Fucking Pinwheel.
Oh, it was
like
Pinwheel.
It was 24/7 Pinwheel.
That was just the show.
It was the whole channel was the show of like these puppets in this house that would introduce
just a rip off Sesame Street.
But it was like all day. Like that's what it was. all this. I can't even find YouTube clips of Pinwheel. It's so fucking old.
I remember there was a recurring cartoon of a dog with who could fly by spinning his ears around his head.
Fuck, that's vague. Yeah. Fuck, that's vague.
He was a bird dog.
Yeah. So I bet some games like came helicopter out this
week. Oh, yes. But I interrupted Chris. You were going to name one more show.
Oh, it seemed super obvious, and I hastened to bring it up. Is that the theme?
That's the pirate song.
What's the pirate? It has to be the intro, because once you hear the intro, okay. I think you'll
Spartacus
get it.
With a K.
I know. YouTube keeps fucking
correcting me. Spartacus and the Sun Beneath the Sea.
But wait, what was the other show that's super obvious?
Super obvious.
What is happening?
There we go. I'm just being vague.
Life is like a hurricane.
It's weird that Disney's abandoned, but as far as like big cartoon shows, like fucking DuckTales, your Darkwings, like those are properties that... There's that Darkwing Duck comic by Boom Comics. Fucking good, dude.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Well, and DuckTales, I think, is the most well-known because it was the first one.
Yeah, Boom is also releasing the Warren Spector.
I just wonder how well DuckTales, like, we all obviously know it, but, like, how well did it retain an audience, like,
for years?
Past 1995. Like my nephew was born in 2000. I don't think he even knows what it is.
I think about that, but then you also got to consider, like, the Flintstones. Like, that was way over when we were little kids.
Well, that's different. Back then, there was only so much on even cable.
Yeah, there
cable
were so many
that,
channels.
Like,
so like
it
the
was
odds
always
of,
replayed.
Yeah, the odds of me running into Flintstones was not hard.
But it's like, but if they're going to remake G.I. Joe and He-Man, like, and even, Transformers, like, that is a dumb show based on a product line
right.
that we do have an affection for, and they made movies out of it.
Right.
DuckTales could sustain a movie. It did with Treasure of the Lost Lands.
Yes, yep, which I saw could. In the theater.
But it'd have to be animated. They couldn't do it as CG. Or
man, that's not it either. Anyway.
Give it a second.
Yeah, give it a second. Mm-hmm. You think so? It's French.
Oh,
it's
man.
The French version. Wow,
it's the original. What the fuck?
Anyway, speaking of film adaptations, our first episode of Dead Island Secret Origins is up, and I just wanted to make you aware.
Is there still tears of fandom going on?
No, people are being very sweet, and I don't know. It's been problematic just on my end of things, and...
Oh, it's okay.
No, it is okay, because like there was a director involved, and like it's like, man, you got a lot of useless shit in here and retarded jokes, like literally about the retarded. Like, can we just get these guys to the island? And so I look at that first episode, and like with the knowledge that the rest of the world hasn't seen where it's going, the first episode is just like establishing something silly, and there's no fucking jokes anymore. And I'm like, fuck, I wish we would have like been a little filthier. Or you guys did a great job. It's just like, I can't wait for you to see the next couple of episodes.
Yeah, three and four.
Because, like, there's actual gags in it.
There's a couple jokes.
Three and four are very stacked, but they are all this short. I'm surprised people were expecting, like, a 10 or 15 minute episode each time.
Well, by the trailer, maybe they jump to conclusions.
The third and fourth episodes are, like, triple the length of what the first two are.
I think the second episode is the shortest, isn't it?
Yeah, it's even shorter.
But it's
sorry.
Definitely a fun one.
Sorry to reveal it.
Anywho. Three and four are longer, and they're also there's a lot more going on.
This one. Veronica's in the next one.
Special guest star.
Special guest star, Veronica Belmont.
So hoping she'll tweet that to some of her millions.
She tweeted the trailer.
Oh, the trailer, not the first episode.
Is she in the trailer?
I don't think so. That seems like an oversight.
No, the star of the trailer is you.
Yeah, no.
You're the only one that has any lines.
I would like to point out that the line of my Vegas thing and the slap that happens after... maybe that made it in the movie, maybe it didn't. And it's been a very sore spot for me.
It's been a very sore spot for several of us.
Well, maybe it's more famous now that it's been in the trailer, even if it's not in it. Also, I like it.
How many times did I have to sock you upside the head for this?
I kind of like it when movies like put a... like I liked. Ultimately, I liked how Bridesmaids had trailers that were full of jokes that were not in the movie because they didn't spoil jokes for me. Like, it gave you the tone of the film. But you, unlike every other comedy trailer that reveals all the best jokes, like the Jack and Jill trailer, like reveals all the funniest things that happen in it. Like when Al Pacino like hits on Jill, like
so good.
What's Jack and Jill?
The Adam Sandler movie where he plays his own sister.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because I've
fantastic.
Seen all the links and I'm like, I refuse to watch whatever this is.
It's fantastic. I thought it was marketing for funny people, like his character in the movie.
Yeah,
like right following up the Mermaid movie. The Merman movie.
What horrible voice does he use to be his sister?
Hey, I'm here.
is his Jewy lady voice.
So I don't even want to think about it. I just want to hear DuckTales music.
So it's like he's playing all the characters from Eight Crazy Nights or something.
It's
sort of,
but it's like a technical foul.
Even the worst, my least favorite current Adam Sandler appearance is in the Zookeeper trailer. Just this monkey jumps up. It's like, you can do it. Like, God damn it, really?
Oh wait, he put that in Zookeeper.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Well, it's like his company is producing.
Yeah, his company should be Adam Sandler does favors. Like, he just fucking gives all his idiot friends, like, Rob Schneider does not deserve to be a star in any part of the universe. And yet, he's starred in several films because he's Adam Sandler's best friend.
And Rob Schneider.
I love that. I love that. I had to watch Grown Ups just because I'm a giant SNL nerd and, like, dude, I just want to say to Kevin James, you're so lucky Chris Farley died.
Yeah.
It's Chris Rock, David Spade, Rob Schneider,
yeah,
and Adam Sandler.
Yes.
And David Spade, they were laying down his Hollywood star walk of fame, and David Spade's like, yes, if Chris were here today, he'd be working for Adam Sandler too.
Yeah. No, he probably would be. I don't know. He was the best. Like, he's better than Sandler. He was so, that book about Farley made me appreciate him even more.
Chris Farley Show. Beautiful. Yeah.
Such a great book.
But all I have to go off is Beverly Hills Ninja. And
oh, that's the worst. That's the worst
Tommy,
one to
Tommy
go
Boy
off of.
A,
I like yeah, Tommy Boy.
Tommy
Boy's
Boy is like his best wonderful. Thing. And it's the closest you see to like what he really could have done.
Yeah.
And
well, no, I actually...
The thing is that
don't
was
laugh, but Coneheads, like Chris Farley plays a rather touching character in acts well.
Down by the River?
In Coneheads.
Oh, Coneheads.
Coneheads. That's you're thinking of Matt Foley.
He's motivation. The boyfriend.
Yeah,
that's
right. No, Down by the River.
Yeah.
Matt Foley.
You know, motivation. That sketch was originally written by Bob Odenkirk.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, we were reading those books and you said, like, Robert Smigel's like, okay, this is like Bob's sketch, and the only thing I added was...
Falling on the table,
which that apparently had to be in every
life,
sketch, and that's like, I'm so sorry because that's
every sketch is him falling down.
I think they said
smashing.
In those books, like Chris Farley referred to it as, "Are we going to do Fatty Falls Down?" Like just one of those sketches.
Fatty Falls Down.
Fatty Falls Down.
I'm sick of doing Fatty Falls Down.
I'm sick of doing Fatty Falls Down.
But also, though, he never really had love and like hated.
I implore you, video games.
Video games, please.
Let's look at the time. How long did we go before talking about games?
16 minutes.
And that's
quite the intro. I had.
Well,
I
if it's less than 16 minutes, kids, then you know we cut things.
We had that stupid conversation, like acknowledging fan feedback because I do want to make the show better. And yet again,
did you do that on the last episode?
I wasn't mad. I just yet again, it's one of those episodes where like I couldn't do. I literally couldn't do anything. I'm sorry. Like I fucked up again.
After Comic-Con, we can get back on track. Man, I bet you can't wait for right when you get back from Comic-Con Monday, record another podcast.
Yep.
Exciting, huh?
Like, I'm trying to figure out a solution. I think I just want to die because I don't want to kill myself. I just want to be dead for a little while.
No, I know what you mean.
To make all this shit go away.
You just want to go into stasis and wake up.
But I won't, you know, I can't be cryogenically frozen because then I will not have learned anything in the process. But like... All this needs
awaking
to go away,
coma.
And I can just focus on something. Jesus Christ. There's so much. I don't want to deal with Dead Island videos
Everybody
anymore.
Everybody on Twitter, let Chris know that you love him and you
they,
don't want
They've
him
been
to
very
go away.
Fucking sweet about that. Like, because I guess I'm coming off as depressing?
Oh, I don't know. What was depressing about that thing that just said? Well, yeah, well, this morning I felt bad because you came in looking pretty bad. And then I said,
I'd been puking
man,
and sweating.
Chris, you look like $1 million. And then you... looked at me like that was the least funny thing I ever said.
Oh,
like,
I'm sorry. I didn't
oh,
mean to do
I'm
that.
Sorry, Chris. I didn't,
well, I didn't know I visually looked like shit because I've been holding off on shaving because when I brushed, I was.
You know what? You don't make
I did brush
better.
My teeth until I vomited nothing because there's no fucking food in my house.
You know what'll make you feel better?
Huh?
3 days on your feet for 12 hours surrounded by hundreds of thousands.
And it's great because I can't
people.
Even take a vacation after I fly home on Sunday because I have a feature due that day and another show to do. This is all so very wonderful.
Well, plan one for August before PAX.
Uh-huh.
Take some time off. Take some time off, recharge, and we'll go to PAX fresh.
Can I take August off
again after?
Take a week off in between this and PAX.
I like plan on taking a week off
just,
August.
Just not next week.
I'd like to.
And don't do it the first week because I'm out. So
Shit.
And Michael's taking the second week off.
And that's
So and I'm
actually,
if
you guys could just wait till January,
that's another weird thing. Like I don't know, if we're just all fucking old, or every day this week, or like the last couple of weeks, somebody is out for like something terrible. Yeah. That like we can't like Michael's got salmonella. Tyler lost a relative. Your mom's... That's not terrible.
Yeah,
but
no,
like,
that was good.
But it's like...
Charlie's shattered ribs.
And it's like, can you do this thing that this guy usually does? And like, I've been here every day. I'm exhausted.
I should be sick.
I'm totally exhausted. Whew. Anyway, yeah. Vidya, what a terrible week for.
So really, we made it to 20 minutes, I think.
That was working for a video game website.
So
that is what life is like.
What a terrible night to have games.
We've also posted a Cheat Planet position open.
If you want to
be part of this wonderful...
Join the party, guys!
Even the fun stuff we do get to talk about, you'll get none of that. Yeah. Just imagine all the bad...
We're going to shove the
sitting
worst
there
shit at you.
Watching us have fun... While you have to manage a cheats database.
You know what your lucky days will be? When we say, like, I've got no time to write up a shitty story on this press release. Why don't you handle this?
Wait, you guys are having fun?
No, I'm saying when we do we do have fun.
Those rare times.
It does happen.
I'm fucking mad.
Chad Krogan.
Yeah, we had fun.
You won't be allowed to participate.
You'll stand up and we'll give you the stink eye until you sit down.
Uh-huh. And we'll just stop everything and stare.
One of our interns, Eric, and like I had like almost apologized to him. Like, man, that wasn't very nice to you. Like, no fun stuff happened with you. Like,
it's the summer. Like, if someone interned in the fall, there's shit every week.
Summers, then it goes right into the fucking holidays.
They had one good day. I remember when I came back from E3. And they were like, I think all of us were more miserable than we'd ever been after coming back from E3. And then I get back at my desk, and Jeff and Eric, the two interns who were there, are like, oh man, we just got in Duke Nukem and we were playing it in the room. I was like, I never got to have that kind of fun as an intern. And you don't get to either. Stop playing Duke Nukem right now. And you don't get any free copies
found out
of Duke.
It wasn't actually that much fun. So.
Yeah, I guess. But they thought they were having fun.
Yeah, that's true.
So games that came out this week.
Eric was I sent him off. I'm like, I've been a miserable shithead, broke up my girlfriend. I want to give you something. And like the look on his face, Earth Defense Force. Really? You're going to give this? Dude, it's a budget game. We have multiple copies of. Like, I didn't do anything for you. But he was so happy. And like,
no, that would make me, like when I interned at PSM in 2004, mm-hmm. they got like, you know, X copies of Twin Snakes in because they were really good with Konami.
I know.
Though they're PSM, and Chris Slate's just like, yeah, take it. I'll get another one. And I'm like, and I was like, I got a free game.
I was thinking about this.
Like, and went back to my hotel with my friends who came with me. Guess what? and then when I got off the flight home, guess what? Just so excited that I got Twin Snakes. So,
I was thinking visually back to the old magazine days of pure dominance because we're having to discuss what to do with our life-size standees of Kanan Lynch and Prince of Persia.
I say we burn them.
Those days are so over, but we have like all these great Solid Snake, Laura Croft, Fallout things. And
those
like,
are the ones worth keeping.
Not only is like would those be produced in rare quantities, they'd never be sent to one of us again. Ever again.
Well, we didn't get Kanan Lynch. Like, wasn't that
or
just
the Fallout guy?
Yeah, it was a hand-me-down from OXM.
They didn't want it.
They didn't have space
for it.
No, I mean,
who can we hand it down to? Maybe at Gamer.
But nobody wants Kanan Lynch or Warrior within Prince of Persia. Like,
can we just carry one of them to a dumpster tonight? Like, just one of them. Like Prince. Let's just throw Prince in the dumpster.
I'm sick of seeing Prince.
But he looks so good with that feather boa.
That fucker, I think he's a person standing in front of the capture room
every
day.
Every time you walk out of here.
Let's throw him away tonight. Let's take pictures of
him. No, we should try and stage, like, a disposing
This conversation is just going to guarantee that he fulfills my fear. When I'm working here late, he's going to come to life and stab me.
You'll hear Godsmack coming, so you'll know.
It'll be the Dark Prince from number 3.
He's probably pissing you for working so late because he can't come to life.
A chain. I can't outrun a chain.
He can't come to life and make out with Kanan Lynch until you leave.
Oh man, the fun!
To stage like disposing of the body scene. Get like multiple cameras out and just trick the. It looks like we've wrapped up somebody in a carpet, and we're throwing him in a lake. They don't know that he's the warrior within Prince of Persia.
That's
not as funny as I thought. Well, video games this week. Everybody played stuff, I think, but
me. No.
I've been playing
Just Dance Summer Party.
Who cares? Next.
You know, Just Dance 2.
Smurf's
highest selling
Smurf's Dance
game
Party.
Of all
also
time.
From Ubisoft, releasing simultaneously two Wii Party games.
And you know, in the fall is Just Dance 3 coming to 360 and PS3 as
man,
well.
How
as
do
the
they
Wii.
Crank them out so fast? That kind of quality. Bastion is out this week. Carolyn likes it, right?
Carolyn had a review up. She gave it an 8. It's averaging an 88.
And I watched her play quite a bit of it. It's, you know, isometric, very pretty sprite-based adventure RPG element hybrid thing. Yeah, but
everything is narrated.
The big thing, yeah, is this guy. The kid knew he was going to have to get a bigger spear. And it just narrates what you're doing, but it's just really neat because no other game does this thing. Mm-hmm. And he narrates pieces of the story. He'll narrate.
It's like a tutorial. Yeah, he'll tell you what you need to do.
He'll narrate in a way that actually pushes the story along, but also gives you hints as to what you need to do.
Let's see if we can find it. They gave us B-roll of the game, and we posted it, and they got mad at us. We took it down.
The weird thing about that, I remember, I think I was talking to Taylor Cock, who played it, and he was telling me
Cock?
He was telling me, it's, you know, it narrates everything, and it's, like, just one of the programmers who has a really good voice and just recorded all these lines, and, like, the writers are, like, really heavily influenced by Cormac McCarthy. And I'm like, Robert what?
That's crazy.
Cormac, that anime game over there is influenced by Cormac fucking McCarthy?
That's crazy. Post
the start of the calamity.
The narrator for Bastion. Sorry, guys.
No, ma'am. It's a gas fella forced out from underground.
Let's get back to the beginning. Hold on.
Simple with this one. Now, here's a kid whose whole world got all twisted.
They sent us this labeled
him stranded on a rock
labeled
in the sky.
B-roll.
He gets up, sets off for the bastion.
The character gets up.
Where everyone agreed to go in case of trouble. Ground forms up under his feet as it points the way.
It's really cool to see.
It's a very cool game.
Well, this type of that
finds
writing.
His lifelong friend just lying in the road.
That type of writing sounds just like the Cormac McCarthy punctuation-free type of dialogue or type of prose. Hey, here's a funny
Pulitzer
thing about
Pulitzer Prize-winning type of prose.
Here's the type of thing I'm interested about this is that Bastion is made by a lot of guys who used to work at old GameSpot, including Greg Savin, if you guys remember him. He was the EIC of GameSpot once upon a time.
And he worked on Bastion?
A lot of them did, yeah. Well, Savin left GameSpot for Ubisoft, and I think eventually he got sick of that and went into indie development, and Bastion's the first game of his company, of the company he works for. I don't know if he's the head of it, but I do know he's involved in it.
That's cool.
And so that's why I found out about that because Giant Bomb was writing about it, and they said, we really love this game, but yes, our old friend from GameSpot is working. A lot of our old friends from GameSpot are working on this game.
So what's up with Catherine? It ships next week, but the reviews are all landing. Are you reviewing it for
us? I thought Carolyn. Well, I don't know. I am not reviewing it because I was going to take El Shaddai, which was coming out next week and got delayed over the weekend. But I think the magazine reviews got to go up first. And
well, it's sure. Destructoid went up.
I think it's one of those situations.
We haven't.
Everybody,
it.
The review scores are for Japan are out. So,
Destructoid and 1UP have posted. Their
I know.
Reviews.
I'm pretty sure you could probably post your because the game's already done.
As far as I know, we haven't even gotten it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are they giving it? Like that's
1UP gave it an A and Destructoid gave it a 9.
Though I saw Game Informer gave it a 7.
Yeah. The consensus. Well, it's going to vary wildly. The scores are going to be all over the place. But in general, what seems to be the case is you have to go through a lot of toil to basically watch a kind of a fun anime cartoon. Mm-hmm. But in between there, it's a...
Well, kind of a compelling adult
I mean, it's
anime cartoon.
It's a cool cartoon, but the gameplay in between is this weird Qbert fusion idea of a game. Which
something you never thought it was going to be from the first trailer.
I forget who said that, but that blew my mind after playing the demo.
When we
Qbert.
Were playing it, like... This
Qbert.
Wait,
Jesus.
What's this puzzle shit? I didn't know any of this.
It's basically like a puzzle, watch a movie kind of thing. But I mean, there's a lot more to it. It's just it'll be really divisive on what your patience is and how much you want to go through to watch this story unfold.
Something cool for this little interactive medium of ours.
That's
that
the
no
big
one's done
thing.
Before.
It is different.
Yeah, it's
and
different.
It's taking a chance and actually trying something.
And they took a chance to release it. So if it seems like it'd be your bag, like support shit like that.
No, the character also like the characters are over 30 and dealing with like trying to be mature. And infidelity and
you know what else came out this week?
Nope.
Call of Juarez.
Yeah.
Call of Rapares.
As I said,
can I do it?
As I said earlier today, it's the conclusion to the epic Call of Juarez trilogy that we all
the one they
so
silently
much.
Put out with no fanfare.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. We just got copies yesterday, and I played through the first 5 levels. And it's interesting because it definitely feels scaled back from the last couple games, but it is kind of clearly meant to be played multiplayer. Like the
and you said with three people.
Yeah, with three people. There's three main characters. Mm-hmm. And the co-op is really, you know, integrated into single player to the point where every level starts with a lobby where you pick your weapons and you can, like, just hit start to invite people in. Mm-hmm. The thing that the multiplayer comes in is that, like, all three of the main characters, it's revealed in, like, the first level, are dirty on some level. Like, they're all dirty cops. They're all basically stealing money for some cause that they're not supposed to be stealing money for. Mm-hmm. And so each one is assigned to watch one of the others. So your job is to basically steal shit while nobody's watching you, and you get, like, a radar with the little cones of sight for your partners that's always on. And you also have to try and catch them stealing shit.
Wow.
So,
while you were saying that, it sounds totally interesting.
It sounds totally interesting. As a single player game, it's very so far. This is just a shooter.
You were saying that you are cops who are dirty with co-op, and then I thought, is this the Western series?
Well, no, what I heard
it was originally. Yes.
What happened?
Now it's modern day, and so
it's still a Western.
Yeah, it's a Western in that
the
like
1800s Western series.
It's three like semi-rogue government agents fighting a drug cartel.
All right, thematically,
There's like so far the only positive link is that like one of them is McCall. The McCalls are the brothers from Bound in Blood and
Codrib.
Yeah. I played both.
And the guy looks a little bit like Reverend Ray, but he sounds nothing like him, so that charm is gone.
I like both the Call of Juarez games. I mean, they're kind of like 7-8 first-person shooters set in a fun Western world.
What are you doing in between trying to catch... Is it just a first-person shooter that you're also trying to catch people stealing?
Yeah.
And also steal?
Yeah, it's like the Kane and Lynch multiplayer that it just sort of adds an element of deception. But you're not trying to kill each other.
Right.
It's just like, you know, it's a first-person shooter where you're going through just shooting up drug thugs and like planting bombs to burn marijuana or whatever.
Can they revive me?
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
I haven't played
with other players yet. I know the AI can't.
They're going to say resuscitate me. That's a copywritten phrase by Epic Games.
And also it's kind of riddled with it's one of those games that feels the need to swear a lot but it feels really stiff and unnatural, so it just kind of becomes wearisome where everybody's like, "What the fuck's going on?"
And
like,
"Revive me!"
All the Latino characters say like, "Man, what's going on?" I say, "Hey, cabron, fuck you, man."
I remember.
So he's Garcia Hotspur.
I remember.
Without the charm.
Okay. I remember.
Without Steve Blum pretending to do an accent.
I remember the quotes from people commenting on the last Call of Juarez was like, you can tell this was made by Eastern Europeans who are faking American accents poorly.
Out to the Old West.
Some of them, maybe, but I mean, okay. I think the main characters
was a bigger
were...
problem in Bib.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this time, like, one of the characters, one of the main characters is, like, a Latino DEA agent.
Help me rob a bank.
And he doesn't sound like that, but he lays it on really thick. Like, every other line has to have something like Mamacita or...
Talk about his time in the biz lads. Yeah.
Oh man!
Wonderful Shield reference.
Some random piece of Spanish.
So as a bilingualist,
I can listen. It didn't seem like he liked being called that.
As biling, would you?
Yeah, I'm totally biling.
Bilamos.
She was on Celebrity Rehab.
What is the question?
Biling.
My question is biling.
Okay. Yeah. Pretty hot.
She was in Crank 2.
No, wait. Who am I thinking of?
No, she was. No, she was. She was in Crank 2. She was subtitled.
She wrote her own subtitles. Anyway. My
she
question
was
like...
useless episode of Lost.
All these fucking episodes... All these games where they do like they... I speak two languages, so everything has to be comma esse.
Yeah.
You speak two languages. Does anyone fucking behave like that?
No, but, you know, I'm... The thing is, like my heritage is Spanish, so it's kind of like asking a Brit, like, do Americans really do that?
No, I know that, but, like, I know a lot of people who can speak more than one language, and not one of them, like, mixes them so thuggishly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've known people who were bilingual and who could slip effortlessly in and out of Spanish and English. And
oh, there's that.
I've never heard anybody really talk like that.
It's just, like, I don't know if it's a thing
that
teams...
You know, I'm not hanging out in East LA
either. I think you grow up with... I know plenty of fluent people who don't.
Yeah,
dad, who have like my grandmother's totally just speaks Spanish. That's her first
right. Like yeah. slipping but, in and out of one is one but thing. But like, it's like, is it just TV persisting
East,
this idea?
I don't want to say East LA. If you grow up in a neighborhood where you speak Spanish there, and every time you leave you speak English, I can see how it would make.
No,
you
I can understand it. It's just
if
like
you've ever listened to like one of the Spanglish radio stations, like right. La Calle,
or which, seen Spanglish,
where they
very
just
good.
Kind of slip seen in and out of English and Spanish for no reason.
Yeah,
that though I don't even like. That's like slipping in and out. This isn't. This is using words as punctuation. Well, like you, English,
Spanish word.
Well, what if you learned? What if you learned French and then you? But then you punctuate thing. I'm like, dude, la chui, la jeune vie. you remember those Muzzy commercials? Exactly. Yes. That's when she says, "I'm a little girl," mm-hmm. right? Isn't that?
I watched Muzzy. We laughed so fucking hard at Muzzy. God, Muzzy. Jesus
Back
Christ.
To Nintendo. Or sorry. Nintendo. Like, Nickelodeon memories.
I'm just thinking of like the radio DJs who are like, hey, tenemos unos tickets para la show on Friday.
Yeah. El Chupacabra.
Call para conseguirlos.
The Call of Wars.
What do you like it? You don't like it? What's the deal?
Well, I haven't played enough to really form an opinion yet.
Do it anyway.
But so far, it's very blech. It's probably like a 6 or 7 right now. Unless it does something to pick up.
It's not trending very well.
But I'm not very impressed.
The other game out this week that tried real hard, Captain America.
Bum, 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 bum,
I did try really
did
hard.
I have
yeah.
did I need Captain America music?
America!
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that game came out in America last. I just want to say that. It came out first in Australia, then in Europe, last week, and then finally this week over here.
Bullshit.
So bullshit.
I will champion the fight for freedom and justice wherever tyranny reigns.
Thanks, Cap.
I'm a big Captain America fan.
I can't wait to see the movie. I'm feeling good.
Really?
I'm feeling good about
it. You guys just like had the most violent reactions to that fucking trailer.
That's
like,
true.
It looks so stupid. My God, look at his costume.
No, wait,
Did you think it looked stupid? I thought it looked okay.
I don't
I'm not invested where Henry and Brett are. Yeah.
The most recent trailer that had him riding the motorcycle in it, that was more action-y. It had more stuff I liked in it. I didn't love it. But then maybe I'm just really, after seeing the spoiler thing that, look, all Marvel films have a thing at the end after the credits. This one's is the best ever.
Yeah, the Avengers trailer leaked.
Come on. Some people might not have seen that. They want to be surprised.
What, just the Avengers exist?
Like, it's
all right. It's all right. I have a clip from that trailer to spoil everything.
Bring in the volunteers. Enter Steve Rogers, too puny to be accepted by the army, but willing to risk death for his country in the greatest experiment of all.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Growing
That's
up,
Hugo Weaving talking, by the way.
Growing up, I thought that Captain America was the corniest of cornball heroes.
Kind of is.
Because that's the thing. Like, it started turning around when Ultimate Cap became really cool in the Ultimates.
Was it Civil War where he became like
kind
of a real person?
Then after that, Mark Miller took over during Civil War, but at the same or right before Civil War, Ed Brubaker restarted Cap and made it like sort of like 24, sort of like a spy thriller.
It's fantastic.
And just so it's down to earth enough. Like it's still crazy. Like he's fighting a guy with a giant red skull. And sometimes they get a cosmic cube that could literally do anything if somebody.
But for
had
the most
it.
Part, like just start with Captain America out of time. It's the new trade. They restarted with new number one in like 2005 or 4 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's been a nonstop fucking excellence.
Really?
Ed Brubaker writing it.
No, and like an epic
since 2004,
2004 or 2005.
Really,
I have all the issues. If anybody wants,
it's like
you got them in a trade paperback.
I've got a giant collection of the first 25 issues.
It's fantastic.
And it's
utterly excellent.
And it keeps going, too, but right now it's like basically a 71-issue mega arc.
Yeah,
I actually have a clip from those first 25 issues.
Down with democracy! Down with freedom! Take cover, Rogers. I'll stop that murderer. No, it's my job. It's what I was created to do.
He was crazy.
Jesus Christ.
I will say the game, I got the sense playing
The game, yeah.
Yeah, I got the sense playing it that if they had not had to rush it out for the movie, that it could have been really good.
Or if it wasn't made by Sega.
It's made by the Punch-Out developer.
Next Level.
Who are also making Luigi's Mansion 2 right now.
And it is really fun. It's not fantastic.
You said fun with a question mark.
I didn't. No, fun. I didn't. No, it is really fun, period. But it also, like, it, and it introduced me to some of the characters. Like, I'd never heard of Arnim Zola before. He's a major character in this.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You know, there's some interesting story twists. Like, you find these Baron Zemo audio logs narrated by Steve
audio
Blum.
Audio logs?
That, like, they actually make him a really sympathetic and interesting character.
No, Zemo is actually pretty interesting. Well, no, the current Baron Zemo is his dad. The helmet Zemo, the one you're fighting in the 40s, is not.
Is
in the comics,
is
not
Batroc the Leaper in the game?
He never actually shows up. I'll just say that. Okay. Find audio logs.
Is Batroc the Leaper in it?
Because it takes place in Castle
and
Zemo.
Still won't answer.
No, Batroc the Leaper is not in it. If he is, I don't know what the fuck that is.
You asked as a joke, and then Henry asked out of genuine, like, he better be in this movie.
No,
I want Batroc to be in this.
What about Crossbones?
I'll tell you who's in it.
All right.
Red Skull, Iron Cross,
Mega Flag,
Arnim Zola, some Hydra lady whose name I forget. I think it's just Madam Hydra.
Madam Hydra, that's it.
Yeah. Baron Zemo is sort of not in it.
Admiral Kami?
Yeah, sure, okay. Why not? No.
Bucky's in it, right?
Yes, Bucky's in it. Dum Dum's in it. Dum
Dugan.
Dugan, yeah.
All right.
And the Howling Commandos in there?
Just him.
What about
there's like a British guy who like
a gentleman something or
does
other.
Does Socialist Sissy make an appearance?
Sure.
Come on, Chris. Take this seriously.
Oh, and there's like some sort of
sorry.
Giant monster.
Giant monster.
Some
huh?
manner.
I forget what it is. The Sleeper, it's called.
Some manner of creature.
I'm not sure.
But you were saying it's really wants to be Arkham Asylum.
It does.
Just
it tries
can't.
Really hard, but it has all these flaws. Like it has these platforming bits that are basically just Cap will do some Prince of Persia style shit while you just hit a button on the controller.
Those were the worst. That was the worst part of that demo.
And the QuickTime events are like they're not very many of them, but the ones that are in there are shit, and especially the ones in combat, because it's like you will fight a boss down to like the last sliver of health, and it's like, oh, finish him off with a quick time event. You get one fucking button press wrong, his health refills partway.
Yeah.
It'll come after you, like, oh, god damn it, more troops are pouring out.
Fuck.
It's because Sega, this is true for a lot of movie tying games, but Sega, you can tell, like, they don't give a fuck about quality control and those things. Like,
why it's impressive that it's any good at all.
Next Level had to make up all the difference in the quality. Like, Next Level could have given them, like, they could have given a terrible effort and it wouldn't have mattered. Sega would have published it.
That's the thing. I went in thinking, like, this is going to be horrible. It's going to be an easy review. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I got into it and I was like, actually, this isn't bad. I kind of like this.
Interesting. It's launching at $49.99.
It's
a fair price.
Semi-budget thing.
So I'm guessing you would say, like, wait for it to be, like, 20 or 25.
Yeah, so you've reviewed it. I'm going to review it for us, I guess. Mm-hmm. But you've reviewed it.
Yeah.
What?
Maybe we'll FAP it.
I guess the issue's out, so I gave it a 7.
We should FAP it this week.
Hey, yeah, I remember that. Your review of Cap is on the same page as my review of Green Lantern.
That's
and
right.
I also gave it a 7.
Huh. Jesus. We both work at magazines.
So I didn't know.
In my case, it was like it started as a 5, and then it gradually grew until like, okay, this is like a 7. Yes.
My feelings with Green Lantern was like, yeah, this is a ripoff of God of War.
It might even
have
been a 7.5, but they don't do that.
They don't trade in that.
So that's the new releases.
Yep,
but
new releases.
I didn't know if anyone was interested, and since the Cat movie is coming out, if they would
done
like
this before, right?
What?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
If anyone would enjoy a very brief primer on Captain America.
Nah, I know. No, I would.
No, I was. I'm working on a feature that's posted now that I.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The Captain America history of Captain America through video games. And
am I really doing a Smurfs thing that's similar?
Yes.
Who let that happen?
Annette.
Who let the dogs out?
I think
the
I have
roast beef lady. Elephant dogs.
Oh, I get it. You did that. That was the. I get it now.
Thanks, buddy.
And what about Captain America?
Very briefly, just if you're going to see the movie, fuck you guys. I won't do it.
No.
It's not like.
Sorry, I thought when you said.
Else it! It ain't like that.
I thought when you said very briefly you were going to tell a story about who let the dogs out.
No.
Wait. Hold on. I want you. Wait.
Jesus Christ.
Wait.
I need. Wait. You wait. I want to interrupt you interrupting me
no.
with my original story.
No. ask me, do I want to hear what? Ask me again.
I want to hear about Captain America.
Ask me. Do you want to hear?
Do you want to hear? Who let the dogs out?
No! Stop. No. That is... No. Wrong. What did you say before?
Captain America feature.
Do you? Want to hear a primer.
Oh, would you like to have a setup for...
Yes.
Captain America and what he's all about?
Yes. So, say it like I... Do you want to hear a primer on Captain America?
Oh, boy. Do you want to hear a primer on Captain America?
No! God damn.
That was a lot of setup.
I think that was
worth it. He never said it right.
That was worth it.
He never said it right.
Red Skull. No, that's Cap when he dies.
Yeah.
But no, it's just going through each of the games. Captain America's not in that many games because, like Batman, he doesn't have any powers per se. So he doesn't make an interesting video game character.
He's also been pretty milquetoast for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time, he really was just like, yay, waving flags, America. But the character really grew in the last 10 years to be...
I can't move!
God damn it. That fucking game.
Tell the people what game it is.
That's Captain America and the Avengers, which was an arcade game that's very famous for just weird, weird dialogue of the Captain America and the Avengers, which is Iron Man, Vision, and Hawkeye. Like yelling,
all the greats
yelling at the bad guys, and they say shit back to them.
What is the laser?
Yes, and his answer is ask the police. What the fuck does that mean?
It means ask the police.
Ask the police.
I believe I have that.
The police have the laser.
Ask the police.
And then you fight. Like,
and then you watch RoboCop. What's happening?
Do you have the escaping? Like at the very most famous line is, "You can't escape. You will be the ones escaping," and it just doesn't make any fucking sense.
You can't escape.
That's the first part. That's Captain America. That's actually all four Avengers. They all have the same voice. And
it's got great. I've been playing it on the show for years in production pieces.
You stupid man.
That's Red Skull, I think.
I know, but all Creative Assassin Josh gave me these a long time ago.
It's every one of them.
But
it's the life. Leave it to me.
So that's maybe his most famous game, sadly. I think we all probably pumped a shitload of quarters into that.
So,
and I played it on the Genesis.
That's Mandarin.
And I played it a lot on Game Gear.
What? Yeah. That's one of the few cases. That game really is a case where the Genesis version is so much better than the Super Nintendo version.
Yeah.
It's immeasurably better. The character began... Jesus Christ. Steve Rogers, a weakling, can't get into the army, but he feels a sense of duty because it's World War II. And also remember, this happened during World War II, which is a mindset. What the fuck is happening?
It's just what's on Mike's screen, Michael's screen. The Ball Space Marines feature. That one is definitely a surprise for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm listening.
I just got reminded of this.
Mm-hmm. But just that it's a mindset none of us can ever understand. The idea of World War II and actually living through it. Mm-hmm. We will never understand what that was like. Like there cannot be another conflict to that scale. So to have a character at the time when your patriotism is legitimately high, when we're actually fighting in a war that was 100% gonna get behind this, because otherwise we're all gonna be fucking speaking German.
Don't get me started.
When he took over, well, also though, when they created him before we entered the war,
like, that's right.
He was there.
It was kind of a propaganda effort,
right?
Trying by Jews. Yep.
Joe Simon and Jack Kirby. Yeah. Those two wonderful Jews.
I'm thinking about Michael Chabon lifted that for Cavalier and Clay.
Wait, who was it created by?
Jack Kirby and Joe Simon.
Who were of what?
Jews.
I think they didn't agree with that.
But so the idea is, his powers, he doesn't have superhuman strength. He doesn't have superhuman reflexes. But what the superhuman serum does is it made him peak human. It makes him the physical limit that a human being could ever reach, which basically is what Batman is, only DC tries to pass that off as, no, he really just trained that much.
No, he's just super smart, dude.
Batman is like he is the closest equivalent to Captain America. It's just, it's hard to make that connection in your mind because it doesn't make sense. But
because they're mortal human beings.
I always felt like physically Captain America is like plus 5% Batman.
Because
the shield is magic, right?
I'll get to the shield. Don't you worry.
Sorry.
But the thing, like Captain...
Bye, Tyler.
Nagata. Not Wild. He left you here unceremoniously.
Mm-hmm.
Peak human, the only superhuman aspect to his, like, he has the maximum mixture of strength, agility, and then through all the fights he had in World War II, and then teaming up with the Avengers, and then when they found him in the ice, because at the end of his World War II, he stops a drone, missile drone flying, it blows up, falls into these freezing waters, freezes him in ice, and he's discovered by the Avengers, literally in real time, 10, whatever, how many years later, 20 years later,
yeah.
In 1964, like, he literally was not around, and then they found him in ice, and then that really started the whole, like, Marvel era of Fantastic... Well, Fantastic Four was first, but...
Yeah. It was part of the...
All that stuff happened all at once. Fantastic Four, Hulk, Iron Man,
two-year thing, X-Men,
Thor,
Spider-Man.
X-Men, Spider-Man. Like, all the shit happened all at once, and it was really incredible.
It's funny that nothing... Like, almost... Other than after Wolverine in the late... Yeah. In the early 70s, and maybe Punisher, like...
Well, Venom, I think, is the last
Venom
major...
Venom might be... Yeah, he might be, like, the last major real thing to
that
be
stuck.
Like,
boys,
yeah, that's
Captain
stuck.
Man.
Yes, Captain America.
Well, he's also a great leader, too.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I was getting at. It's all like Batman. It's all about his strategy, his planning. Like, he's very smart about tactical planning. He's a very good leader, and he inspires people. He has a very strong presence. But as far as powers go, the only thing he actually has in that realm is that his body does not produce lactic acid. So
I can't move!
No, he can move. Really,
he can always move. He has unlimited stamina, so he can fight indefinitely. He doesn't tire. His muscles don't get sore. And you just have to accept that, yes, he does not get tired from fighting.
So in a battle between him and Batman,
yes,
Captain America
ultimately is going to win.
If it was purely physical,
yes, purely
and not
physical.
Yeah. But what about that shield?
The shield is a mixture of vibranium and steel, I think.
Adamantium's in there too.
It vibranium. Might be. I don't know that it is.
Well, they had to mix in some adamantium.
Wait.
So Wolverine couldn't cut his shield.
What are we talking about?
Vibranium.
No,
Captain America's shield.
His what?
His shield. His mighty shield.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, his what?
His mighty shield.
Wow, I was sure you were going to cut to the thieves.
Wow, you really got me.
That was good. I really like his shield.
I miss watching that show. Shit.
Wait, yeah, I wish that show.
Henry, you like his what?
His shield.
Close enough. Living the good.
Just wanted to use it one more time.
I wish that show was over. I wish it went on forever.
Such
beautiful. Costco has like the whole set for like $50. Like
it's so worth watching.
It's on. I think it's on Netflix.
His shield is a vibranium, maybe some adamantium alloy. But the bit is, it's indestructible. But it's also a little. It's not as ultimately indestructible as say true adamantium.
Yeah.
But part of the vibranium is it's very bouncy, reflective. That's why he can throw the shield and it will reflect off of things. And he has the wherewithal and understanding of the geometry to throw that and have it bounce and come back. Like, it had at one point, like, magnets or some shit in it that made it come back
to
him.
Which is ridiculous.
But I think they're just like, no, fuck it, he's just that good. That's how
he's
you can just throw
that fucking good. Well, and also his shield,
but
vibranium.
Also, the interesting deal about vibranium and the shield is that... any force that comes into it, it transmits the force completely out. So that's why, like, Hulk can smash down on that shield, and Cap can hold it, and it will deflect all of the, like, kinetic energy and inertia and all that shit.
And not break his arm.
And not break his arm or break the shield. Like, it really just removes that.
Or just smash him into the ground.
Yeah, it would bend the ground, maybe, around him, but it would protect Cap and... That's basically his bit, but he's just, in general, like a very inspiring leader that everyone in the Marvel Universe looks up to, and for
especially
years...
Especially Dr. Doom.
Yes. He respects him. Dr. Doom's a good villain.
Yeah.
But it is, like, he's not just, like, a flag-waving Go America, because in the last, like, 10 years, it very much became... He felt... He's like, I don't represent the people in power. I don't represent...
That's why I call back the Civil War, because he took...
He took
the non-American stance. Like, this isn't what America...
Well, he took the non-registration stance.
The non-registration.
The non-government.
The non-government.
He's not a government stooge, but he works to defend America.
Yeah.
That's the ideal. It's the idea that people should be heard and that people have the right
to
choose.
Weird. Like, say if you never heard of Marvel, like, Captain America just as a name sounds really
fucking it sounds
silly.
Ridiculous. I understand that completely.
And like a jingoistic thing, like, where you figure every...
Jingoistic, even. If you remove a piece, it could fall down.
You figure every comic is just him. He's beating up a German. He's beating up Japanese guys.
Yeah, but read the Ed Brubaker stuff. Out of Time is the first arc, and it really is like...
And
the,
a great REM album.
Yes. It's the growth of that character of coming out of, like, I'm a great leader and go America. Like, he really does become, like, he acknowledges, like, I don't represent the president. I do not represent the government. I represent people everywhere.
Us.
Freedom. Like, it sounds very cheesy. It's not as bad as it was. Like,
I loved a recent one where it was, to make it, like, current, Bucky Cap was fighting, like, a group that was, like, fronted by the Tea Party. And behind the Tea Party... was the crazy commie basher Cap who wanted to kill everybody who was weird in America and go back to the 50s.
Oh, if I could appease our conservative listeners, tea parties, a lot of good ideas. Thanks. Captain America.
I'm just saying, he's just saying that's what happened in the comics.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't want any more conservative shit coming at me. Jesus, great.
Captain America would defend everyone's ability and right to believe and say whatever you want.
On a video game website.
You know, did you hear in the... this was a California Extreme during the match game thing. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the setups for a joke was like, they were getting attacked by this and the angry what? And then somebody in the audience like said, liberals. And then... But then then at the end of that, one of the panelists said Tea Party members, and then I heard the liberals guy like groan, like
I can give it, but I will not take it.
I love not being taxed in old arcade games.
When I say it, it's clever. When you say it, it's hackneyed and old.
I'll pay for the roads and mail myself.
Liberal. I like the idea of subscription-based police services.
Yes, we really want a fucking snow crash future where a fucking...
I just love a Huskow baked bean meal.
What level of subscription?
It's chili that the Huskow serves.
That joke was bad as a result.
Yes, it was.
What level of subscription do you have to the fire department? Because we will only put out your cat and not your children.
Children?
Sounds like Sergeant Heath.
Children.
How many U.S. Mint 9/11 coins do you own?
Oh, man. You mean the ones that use the gold that was found on...
In the teeth of the 9/11 victims?
Yeah. That's the fucking worst. Like, how can they sell those things?
The very same.
And people would buy those thinking they're being like... They're being patriotic buying those that has
it's
gold found
minted
and-
from steel, between the ribs of a victim.
Are we talking about that or the 3D coin where the towers fold up?
Oh, I like that one too. That's a good coin too. But I remember I remember the Louis
Black
coin.
That it resembles like like the 1970s Willy Wonka gobstopper, like it's half a Jack's.
Well, I remember the Louis Black on The Daily Show had this one where it was like a commemorative coin for 9/11 that the big selling point was it was taken from gold found on the site of Ground Zero. Like
the Federal Reserve building they blew up on purpose, like Building 7, you know what I'm saying?
And then they told them to take down Building 7, then they did.
That's what happened, Captain America, right?
Look at the Yeah. Captain America wouldn't go for that shit. He'd say, fuck that.
Let's go to break.
So I don't know how the movie will handle all of that, but...
It's going to simplify it by just being
simplify.
World War II.
And then maybe leave... No, they have to bring him into the future kind of immediately, don't they?
Based on the teaser trailer that they showed for Avengers, I know how the movie's going to end.
Well, I mean, knowing that he's in the Avengers...
For him to be in current times, to be in the film Avengers...
You're right,
which
they have to gloss over
for
that.
For more than a year.
It's called the first Avenger, people are aware.
Every story they tell with Captain America in World War II has to end with him getting, you know...
Well,
think Captain America isn't very interesting without the Avengers.
I haven't read
the rubric.
You should read the new stuff.
This film will be the test.
I liked him as a leader of the Avengers.
No, he's always great as an ensemble. Like it's a very go-to story, but Marvel's Infinity Gauntlet. Mm-hmm. That's around when I realized why Cap was like super fucking cool. Mm-hmm. Because as a kid, like you said, Henry, I thought he was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like I'm playing with Spider-Man, Doctor Doom, all these cool ass characters, and then he's fucking Captain America.
And his fucking Greek Nike wings.
Yeah,
on
and
his
he has
head.
Wings and he's got stupid boots and he throws a stupid shield. Who gives a fuck? I'm fucking 12, blow me. And then I read Infinity Gauntlet and all those other characters look to him like when shit hits the fan, when Ultron or Thanos or any of these like world ending villains are like, what are we going to do? Yeah. When Unicron comes to eat Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm. Not in Infinity Gauntlet, he was the last one
standing. He's the last one standing.
Thanos.
It's just Cap. And that's the scene in Infinity Gauntlet number 4. Cap walks right up to him. Like, just literally walks right up to him.
It's one of the best, like, superhero fights, like, of all time. Like, everybody versus Thanos. Like.
And he knows there is no way to win. He's going to lose. But he knows that all they were there was sent to do was to distract Thanos. Mm-hmm. And he has to maintain the distraction so Silver Surfer can do his thing. Mm-hmm. And he just walks right up and, like, face to face with a guy he knows is omnipotent, cannot lose, and just, like, stares him down. And it's like, that's when I was, like, reading it as a 10 or 11-year-old, just like... I get it. I get why having that strong of a character and wherewithal is really fucking cool. Even when you know you're going to lose, you still do it. And that really fucking clicked in my head, and I'm like, that is so cool. Read your Infinity Gauntlet, kids. Super cool.
Oh, but you should first read Thanos' Quest before
You do not need
Gauntlet.
To read that.
No,
shit.
Thanos' Quest is the one of the best. Thanos is like
you're
the best.
You're confusing me into indifference.
I will not play Fester's Quest.
Thanos' Quest is one of the best. My favorite comic.
It's how
Marvel
he goes about
ever.
Getting the Infinity Gems, which are featured in Marvel vs. Capcom and Marvel Super Heroes and all those games.
I wanted to spend a little time with this, but I think we're just going to have to take ourselves
in
a break.
That's fine.
With,
I'm done.
You were just looking up the with your stuff. Stupid speakers on the theme song, and we. I have to come into the next segment with the Hulk stuff.
The Hulk one is so good.
It's ridiculous.
The 60s card.
It's the character, the most technically evil, like, well, I'll talk about it in a second. This is a Captain America show theme song from the 60s cartoon Marvel show. Wow. But yes, we can all listen to this live out. Love doing those.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel,
lead me through this. Hi, what's my name?
John DiMaggio.
That's right, and you're listening to
Talk Radar.
Talk Radar.
At GamesRadar.
At GamesRadar.com.
.com, yes.
That's right, I got it.
Bring it on, sucker. This my kind of shit.
Talk Radar. Available in the iPhone App Store. Never.
God. Crunch!
Hulk. Ever loving Hulk.
Who is as lovable? Like, you know, this is like a maniac that kills people instinctually.
Hulk's never killed anyone.
Magically.
But
it's
a goddamn miracle.
Hulk is the most dangerous. One of the most dangerous Marvel super.
Like, by nature.
So lovable.
Ever loving.
Yeah, really, I'm just remembering the Ultimate Destruction when he'd pick up a car that was just driving down the street with the person still inside, tear it in half, and turn it into boxing gloves with the person still inside.
Wow, that was awesome. That's such a great fun
like
game.
Hulk never has killed anybody,
well,
seriously.
According to Marvel.
In 616, quotes. Real Marvel Universe, yes, they
even though,
basically
like,
said...
Ultimate Hulk is eating people.
The one time... Yeah, well, the one... That in the Ultimates when when Hulk went crazy and like just smashed up the town in a very Hulk way, like it was fun. And then afterwards they're like, yeah, he's got to go on trial. He killed 300 people.
Like, yeah, and they had a trial for the Incredible Hulk, and
just for one.
I
Hulk
saw
rampage.
That made for TV movie.
No, well,
the trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Then they sentenced him to death on an aircraft carrier and blew it up, and he survived.
Yes.
But you can pretty much expect the Avengers movie to copy Ultimates 5 and 6 almost directly.
Wow,
I'm hoping it can't. No, that's got to be the
middle. I hope Samuel
L.
Jackson says he wants to be played by Samuel L.
That's
Jackson.
The middle of the film fight is 5 and 6, and then the end is fighting space aliens or Loki with the cosmic cube.
Loki
maybe.
With the cosmic
did we
cube.
Tell the, did you tell the feature you were working on that I was laughing at? Well... what's it called?
Baldest Space Marines.
Baldest Space Marines.
That's come up on the fly.
Use the image I saw.
Yes.
Of the person upside down. I forgot all about these Space Marines. It barely counts, but it works.
Oh, so here's the proof that Hulk never killed anybody.
Okay.
This was the rule. Mm-hmm. And this was written by, this was in a She-Hulk comic written by Dan Slott, who really knows his Marvel lore. And he said,
a Slott joint.
She-Hulk says she can prove that Hulk never killed anyone by the fact that he is still alive. If Bruce Banner ever killed anyone, he would either turn himself in or kill himself out of guilt because he's that strong of a person in his core. He wouldn't walk around being a murderer.
Hasn't he tried to kill himself and the Hulk wouldn't let him?
Well, there's that too, but he would at least turn himself in. He wouldn't be running from the law. He would stop it. That's all. Yeah, when you get down to it, Hulk really is like a drifter who eventually goes crazy and destroys things.
Yeah, so, you know, meth guy, I guess.
Kind of, yeah. I guess, yeah. And that Incredible Hulk movie could have been so much more.
I
thought it was pretty good.
I got to play off the Hulk conversation. I think it's time we say goodbye to our Marvel conversation.
You know, it's good we're having this talk before Comic-Con.
You want to know why?
Game deals.
Take my advice. Do as I say. It's save confusing. A little money for a rainy day.
How am I supposed to feel?
What are you buying? game deals. I did like... No, I think those are dead. Just look at GoHastings.com and see if you can get Mass Effect 2 and Dante's Inferno for $9. That's kind of nice. We have a weird winner this week. Amazon's always good. We have L.A. Noire for $37, both platforms.
That's pretty good.
That's
pretty
about good. Worth it.
I think this is pretty good for a game that probably isn't worth buying anyway, but it's Rayman 3DS. $19.99 instead of $40.
That's a better price.
It's a better price.
There's still such a shallow pool of 3DS titles that it might be worth it.
But if you buy a 3DS at Amazon, you get a $25 gift card. It's a promotion going on this week.
You know, in last month in America, DS outsold 3DS like 3-1.
Really?
Yep.
Really? Like,
3DS
I keep,
ain't doing great.
I keep seeing all those news stories. Like, we were going to release Crush on 3DS, but it was too successful. What do you mean too successful for you to release your platform?
Well, you know, a 3DS game got canceled today when
that was tragic.
Mega Man Legends 3, like the big, which was supposed to be the big 3DS original game launch title for eShop.
Fucking tragic.
Got canceled.
Like, just I mean, the comments on Capcom's blog, like, we're sorry, like, they had crowdsourced the whole thing.
The
and
whole
like,
thing was to get the community on your side, and then
pick the designs as a community.
Then you have to go to the community and say, like, yeah, we're never making this.
It's almost like
your ideas were for nothing and we're never going to use them.
It's almost like that experiment should have just gone forth purely based on what it was.
But they said it did not meet the criteria, which I think means quality. Capcom felt it wasn't.
Basically, what they're saying is, sorry, community, your ideas were awful. Nobody will want to play that.
Because they also said the 3DS sales weren't strong enough to justify creating a brand new game, which is the circular argument of, well, the sales aren't great because there aren't great games for it. So.
I know, but I guess from Capcom's end, they have the highest rated 3DS game, period.
Yeah, Street Fighter.
And I bet that didn't sell crazy.
Probably not.
And, I'm betting if you're the highest rated game on a platform.
Well, the fact that I have two strong opinions about this. One is, Capcom never even had to tell us that Legends 3 was being developed at all. Games are by the time a game is announced, it's been years in development. It's almost done by the time we know about it.
They'd released assets. None of them were a screenshot, and none of them were a trailer like footage of the game.
A few months ago, they did release screens.
They did
some of the first screens because they were going to release as a 3DS download Mega Man Legends 3 prototype version, which they did have some screens for.
But the thing is, Capcom could have just been developing this quietly, like I bet hundreds of games are, that we never know started and then were canceled.
And
the
difference is, Mega Man Legends is
negligible.
I can see if they hadn't crowdsourced it and hadn't been a community, we're canceling. This game isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, the Legends has a fan
base. It's a weird Mega Man game. I know. I love it. I love the first one. I don't care that much for the second one.
It sucks that Capcom canceled it, but they never even had to involve the community or tell us it was ever happening. The fact that they did from the beginning go, hey, submit your ideas, we will take all this shit, that's a great idea, and it just sucks that it turns out they couldn't do it for reason X. Whatever the reason is, they're still a business, so...
No, I do understand that, but it just sucks that, like...
But at the same
time... Why'd you have to cancel the first major crowdsource game?
That's the other
side. Even as it's bad, but, like, there's, like, 600 comments on... Like, early in the morning on the cancellation, because, like, I've been behind this the whole time. Like, everybody who's submitting stuff is commenting.
They're burning their most loyal fan.
Yeah, well, it's just sort of like, well, what if the people who played in the community were just the ones who bought the game? There's a chance that could have been a tragic thing is that it's...
The amount of work that goes into something like that, it would need to sell.
It's
like
the third Mega Man game in 2011.
What was this? I know that...
Universe.
But what was the other one?
Fuck, I forgot.
There's only Universe Legends as far as I can recall.
Anyway.
But the other side that pisses me off, that does make me angry about Legends 3 being canceled, is like, that's the game you're going to cancel?
Yeah.
Wanting for years.
Like, Rearm 2, you let go through. Dark Void goes through.
Yeah. Mercenaries 3D goes through, but Legends 3 is the one you're going to cancel?
You know, Capcom said this wasn't the case, but I really do think it's still just backlash of Inafune quitting. If Inafune was still there, Legends 3 was his pet project, and he could have saved... I think he definitely could have saved it. I don't know... I don't think it was like a malicious thing just to say like this was Inafune's project and he said screw you Capcom, screw his game,
right?
But they also had to clarify, like, one of the FAQ questions was, you canceled Universe and now this, there are no Mega Man games left, is Mega Man dead? And then they're like, no, Mega Man's still an important franchise to Capcom. He's still going to be
still going to make a new Battle Network
in Street Fighter Cross Tekken. He'll still appear in those trailers.
All those other Battle Network and Dragon Force and Zerker versus Zerker X or whatever the fuck those games were, those can all go through. Yeah. But Legends 3 is the one you're going to cancel. That just seems really... That seems strange to me.
And how bad could it have been?
Like, I don't even think like the community's ideas suck. It's like, that doesn't matter. They would incorporate the good ones and what few good ones there were.
Or they could have at least put out the prototype version and then just say, then cancel it. But like,
it's only doubly offensive because they let us in the first place, which they didn't have to do.
But again, that's why I think people are so upset about it.
I agree.
If you would have quietly canceled a game you didn't crowdsource.
Exactly. No, it is. But they did.
That sucks.
They did make it a point to say, any of the ideas you submitted here, we don't own. Like, you're free to take those ideas and do whatever you want with them. Like, we didn't, like, by submitting this, you could sit, you...
It was a big trick just to get free ideas for whatever they want.
I'm just saying we're still in game deals. Okay, but Mega Man Legends 3, we barely knew ye.
That's a success noise.
It's just a clear noise.
So what do you do with Mega Man now anyway? Like, you can't make him as like a next gen.
Please don't make him.
Make him into game deals.
They make game deals. Good point.
Game deals.
Michael Rapara is keeping me back on track. Amazon also has. Speaking of Capcom, Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Sorry, I've been seeing.
Oh, they're dumping it before they announced Super Marvel vs.
Capcom
versus...
3. $30. $29.
I'm betting Super Marvel vs. Capcom is definitely going to be announced at Comic Con.
Tune is Ultimate Marvel.
Ooh, yeah! High five!
It's the only way they'll sucker me into it.
All right, the lowest game deal, which almost seems like it. It's so low. It's like an insult.
They have to be crazy.
They gotta be nuts.
This is the Games Radar Lock of the Week.
How low? The Games Radar Lock of the Week. You gotta pick this up. PS3 Midnight Club Los Angeles. A perfectly decent racing game. If maybe a little repetitive
four
and boring.
4 years old at this point.
How much does it... But 4 year old game, how much does it go for?
Let's get nuts. I'm gonna say $7.
$7.
$4.99.
$4.99.
$2.99.
Wow, Michael got it exactly. But
ding, ding, ding. He gets $100.
Like, as a next-gen game, like, there are no $2.99 games at a retailer like Best Buy.
And a
Best
Rockstar.
Buy.
At Best Buy. This and also a Michael Rapara's recommend Damnation on PS3.
He loves that game.
What's the opposite of recommend?
$2.99 for those two games on PS3.
If that game had a neck, I would squeeze it.
That's offensive to Midnight Club.
It is.
To be...
Because the 360 version is $30.
Oh, my God.
The PS3 version.
Damnation doesn't even deserve to be mentioned in the same breath as turds.
I didn't mean
But you just did.
I was making a rare exception.
Did you stop to take a breath in there?
I want to go to a New York neighborhood and just call somebody turd breath. Like, hey, where are you going, turd breath? Anyway. Biggest game deals this week. I got to give it to Walmart just because it's cheap. Stupid shit. Guitar Hero and Power Gig. Mega bundles with guitars in them.
Uh-huh.
What are we at now?
$30.
Ooh.
$40.
Cut it in half, double it, then take 50% off.
$15.
There's a Missy...
$15.
There's a Missy Elliott thing. Flip down, twist it in, reverse
it. Who's got the keys to the Power Gig?
So...
For Guitar Hero, $15 for Guitar Hero, Warriors of Rock, the latest
with
guitar Hero with the guitar.
The final Guitar Hero.
With the Power Gig. With
the final Power Gig, that's for
the
sure.
The only Power Gig. $15. Little Big Planet Game of the Year Edition, the original, is $11.99, which is still very cheap.
That was a free game not too long ago, if you
either
recall.
Way. It's not anymore, but my favorite one is Mario & Luigi Bowser's Inside Story. $15. And like,
ooh,
you know,
buy that!
DS games,
that are good, that sell well, of very high quality, rarely go down in price. You occasionally when a new platform comes along.
Right.
But this is a great game.
One of the best Nintendo DS.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
And
was that 2009 or 2010?
It was 2009. I remember.
God, it was that long ago?
It was one of my I think it was my first Super reviews. It'll always be special in my heart.
But we're right back in Talk Rider segment three of the podcast we promised ourselves we wouldn't do anymore. Of this
second week in a row. No, we did this 2 weeks ago.
We had a question of the week.
I wasn't on this, so I can.
Our question of the week was canceled, and like. We were all sitting here like, do we just record it again? And like, it's 11 o'clock.
And none of us wanted it.
No, like, I don't... Fuck it. Like, it's not our fault. We can't do this. We have no responses to read, but this week's question of the week is a silly one, and I can't wait to do the question of the week we did before. But, Henry, you thought of an interesting idea.
Oh.
And yeah. I want to turn this over to you guys, so next week, we will do this for you. If you help me out a little bit. What is the question?
All right, so, quick backstory. If you may remember, a couple weeks ago, I talked about how awesome CM Punk was on WWE Raw. And nobody here cared. But
I never said that.
CM Punk's like rise to super success now has gotten me talking more about wrestling and... on Twitter, and so some Twitter people were telling me, like, you have to see the pay-per-view that just aired on Sunday. It's the best they've ever, like, the best WWE pay-per-view in years.
Ooh, yeah!
Somebody else pointed out, like, I forget what other commenter said it, but a Twitter commenter said, oh, this song would be awesome. It would be my wrestling intro.
Isn't that unbelievable?
And so, made me think, like, what song, like, say, how Hulk Hogan's Real American, or... Macho Man's Pomp and Circumstance. Mm-hmm. What music would you have as your wrestling entrance?
I like this. Yeah. It gives me an excuse to play stupid music. Just thinking of Tyler Magada walking the door to work.
That song closed one of the podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Like 77, I think. I edited it into the NES version.
Deserved it. That's good. So, Henry, do you have one?
Yes, I do. Geez, there's so many good ones, but, it's so hard to think.
Is it the song? Do you want me to start it off?
Yes, okay. I can stop it real quick. It'd be
one
easier.
One more second.
I interviewed the songwriter that once. You know that is?
Fairly.
Mouth of
you
the
interviewed
South.
Hulk Hogan?
Mouth of the South, Jimmy...
I interviewed Hulk Hogan.
Hart.
Did that ever go live?
I think that photograph was...
Oh, my God.
So, wait, you're picking a existing wrestling song?
No. This would be any song.
Any song that would, you would walk
you
into
would
the wrestling
have
ring.
As your entrance. And mine, I think, would be... Yeah, I'm going to go with They Might Be Giants, Particle Man.
Oh, that is beautiful. Because
you hook into wrestling anyway because the classic Tiny Toons cartoon with
best.
Wrestling.
So you want a song about loss and failure.
It's
your entrance thing.
I know. You can't... I love that
see
song,
if I can
Triangle
it.
Wins.
Yeah.
Triangle Man.
Particle Man. That's not the right version.
That's for the kids' album, isn't it?
No, they removed all of them from YouTube, which is where I am right now.
They Might Be Giants.
Let's see. They're old men now. They got to protect their estate. They got children.
Used to be good guys.
Oh, audio. Audio disabled on everything. Thanks, guys. Triangle Man. Except for the live version.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Sorry, Hank.
Triangle wins. Well, you know what, then? Let's say instead it would be Prince's I Would Die For You, which you won't find on YouTube either because Prince is very litigious about YouTube.
You never know. He could have an official YouTube. So, Henry, this is you walking out to your own wrestling theme. Let's do this. Why don't you mug a little bit? Give us some, words.
What's this happening? Is why we need a video podcast.
I'm gonna destroy you, Aaron.
Get ready for the pain.
It is time for. You're about to get hang tanked.
What is your costume?
Well, it'd have to be purple with its music and sequins. It'd be sort of like Ric Flair's sequined robe, probably.
I think you should be purple rain, like rain of purple.
Oh, the purple rain.
Get ready for the. This decade of purple rain.
After I win this match, it'll be the beginning of my purple rain.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
What? Anyone else wants to say anything? Do you not want to pick our wrestling themes?
I really wish I had more time to think about this. Gwar's Jack the World.
Ooh, Gwar's Jack the World. Michael, I'm about to intro you. You're going to come out onto the mat. To Gwar's Jack the World. Please don't have a narrative for this music video.
Ladies and gentlemen, you want the best, you got the best. Michael Ruparez!
It's going to be Gwar Parez?
Gwar Parez!
That's a Photoshop. Somebody, quickly.
Michael, do you have any threats to give to the audience?
Not really.
Yeah,
right. I'm kind of a placid wrestler. I would like everyone out here to wrestle fun and to have a good time. I want a nice, clean match from all the fans.
Please, no booing. No booing. We're all professionals here.
You know, we work really hard up here, so if you could all just be really quiet and pay close attention to what we're doing, it's really technical. I think you'll learn a lot.
It's such a wonderful juxtaposition with this song in particular. If everybody could just be cool while this Gwar song plays. Yeah. Like, just calm down.
No, just wait for it. You get to the bridge, it's going to be awesome.
It's not all about theatrics in this business.
No.
Sometimes it's about
the love.
Sometimes it's about being quiet and listening.
Yeah. I got something to say because I'm wrestling up here.
I'll just sit back. I want to tell you all something about geography.
Rattleston, do you have one?
Yeah.
I'm not actually going to tell anything about geography. Just throw that out there.
Off the top of my head, I want to come out to Cheap Trick's Mighty Wings.
Where the fuck did you hear this song?
Oh, it's from the Top Gun soundtrack, and it's also the inspiration for Ken's theme in Street Fighter 2.
I do know this song.
You'll recognize it immediately.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Brett Elston.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect.
And I got to wear aviator glasses and maybe a helmet.
With some glow sticks?
No.
It's like you're waving a plane in? No? No.
It's just
a ball of dust underneath my feet.
No, you don't sing the theme song.
I know. I want to, though.
Keep expecting the Guile theme to come out of this. It's pretty obvious where they got the first few notes.
That's Ken's theme.
Oh, Ken's theme?
It's totally okay, Ken's.
I stand correct.
It's completely Ken's music.
Wow. You're right.
Oh, man. This is the credits to Top Gun, by the way.
So blazing fire in the sky.
Like, given the time Street Fighter came out, how long did it take someone to figure this out? Like, 10 minutes?
It was 86 to 91.
There's a raging...
All right.
Well, I thought of one more for me, though, too.
Oh, Henry, please.
This is when you become a villain? Or?
Yeah, this is the harder edge like alternative song. It's if you can find the song, I think it's called New Pair of Shoes by Kinnison.
Henry Gilbert. Yeah!
And they want to cut this to the part where something happens.
I just love this lead. It's going to start us.
I mean, I assume the whole time you're lighting off fireworks and...
Well, by now you're at the stage.
So you're evil, so you're snapping the heads of, like, baby puppies.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, this is maybe too much lead up.
Scooping up field mice and bopping them on the head.
Skip of, like, 10 seconds. Oh, wait.
There you go. Can someone tell this guy to just calm down? And...
Yeah, dude.
No, but what?
Your dad's gonna die soon. Just settle things.
No,
because 30 years from now, when you're an old man, you'll regret yelling at your dad.
All right, wait, let's see. I got a new pair of shoes. I know this new way to dance. I got this new haircut. I got this new pair of slacks. Got a new pair of shoes. I know a new way to dance. Got this new haircut. I got this new...
Yeah.
See?
I would also like to come out to Cans Turtles Have Short Legs.
Ah, I see. You want to do it? No. Okay.
Well, Chris,
and
what's
also
yours?
The
what's
most,
mine?
The most cliche version available of Europe's The Final Countdown.
somehow more cliche than the original.
Yes, I do
like
that.
Like Freeze Pop's version.
Uh-huh.
I would have to say Neil Diamond's Turn On Your Heart Light, because I've always considered myself something like E.T.
What about I Want to Know What Love Is?
How about Air Supply's All Out of Love?
Christopher Antista! We're all dead! I'll fuck all of you in your face! I'll dig up all your relatives and do the worst! Macho Man ain't got nothing on me. Fucking, who am I fighting here? Hey, Rambo? Like, I haven't watched wrestling in a while.
Zack Snyder.
I'm gonna turn on my heart light and point it at you like a Care Bear steer, motherfucker. You're not ready to handle this. I'm gonna go meet a girl named Elizabeth to conjure memories of a legacy in your head just to tarnish it. I got no respect for what came before. I'm Christopher Antista. My heart light is on fire.
Wow.
I really wanted to hear this song.
Yeah.
God. All right.
You don't want to close the show out with that? That's not good enough?
That might be a good
I want to hear a wrestling theme, so if you call in, tell me your wrestling theme.
1-877-404-1...
So we haven't kept up on the phone calls lately, but I'd like to start getting more interaction. You do a wrestling intro. Do your best. Here's your chance to do a... We're asking you to do Macho Man impressions, basically.
Well, you can do. There's lots of wrestlers to imitate.
404-137.
Now, I'd like to hear a Ric Flair
extension.
I had a Ric Flair first.
Or Fap.
No, I'd like to hear one like, woo!
Woo!
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. Woo!
Is that the Nature Boy?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's fucking...
Just curious. I couldn't remember.
Damn.
I couldn't remember. People are wondering
it's
why...
It's true. That's Kurt Angle.
Wondering why the Dead Island video on YouTube only has 304 and 311 views. And
well,
it's
stop.
It's mocking. Like, the first day on YouTube, you can only get to, like, 311 views. And the next day, like, 24 hours later, it'll just populate with thousands.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, we don't actually have those thousands. So, keep on retweeting.
How many
around.
Did the... Well, we shouldn't say. I love that
Ladies
trick.
And gentlemen, Brad Elster.
Yeah, what?
My curiosity is killing me, just like a cat. My personality to be generated is part of my job. I'm sending all along. Need them then?
I know. Look,
we'll see you at Comic Con.
I'm aware that sounded like a mess, but that sort of was like the greatest thing I feel like I've ever done.
I was kind of tearing up.
Jurassic Park NES style with Macho Man clips.
I miss
him.
Oh, my goodness.
Let us know on gamesnet.com/forums.
Oh, my goodness. Don't know.
And
if
call the hotline, 1-877-404-1337, extension 37.
You know what I'd like to play? And yes, it's like, I'm sorry if I'm over-pimping the Dead Island stuff, but this is a fun story. I know I've told it to you guys already, but let's pretend I'm telling the listeners. We had a producer, cameraman, extraordinaire Dusty over at Future Studios. We all know Dusty, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, we're just sitting around talking at E3, like, where are you from? From Tallahassee. He's like, really? I know people from Tallahassee. I'm like, bullshit. It, like, I went to 6 high schools in 5 years. Like, I know everybody our age. So who do you know? He's like, my friend Janya and Jacob. And no, I knew a guy who dated a Janya, but not a Jacob. And so the next day, Dusty shows up to E3, pulls up his phone, and pulls up a picture of me at 17. That like and
that
oh Jake
has.
He's Jacob now. Oh my god. And like in the music in the Dead Island video, Dusty had landed.
Mm-hmm.
It is my childhood friend Jake playing in a band called Bella Novella. BellaNovella.com. It's all the Dead Island music and all the stuff they were generous enough to like donate it. I don't think they were compensated. All the music from Bella Novella. People keep asking. We'll close out the show with some Bella Novella, but we have another show for you.
A Comic-Con thing later. It will be a grand experiment.
To say the least.
Oh, Comic-Con.
Micropara's Bald Space Marines.
Yes.
Captain America. Henry.
America. Well, yeah, I'll have our Captain America reviewed. Don't look for my El Shaddai one because that game got delayed. But that's bad.
All right. All right. Stay tuned.
Comic-Con.
Down your gun, I'll pick up my elbow and shoot it.
Superman.